listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Can I kick it to all the people who can quest like a tribe does? Before this, did you really know what live was? Comprehend to the track four. It's why, because getting measures on the tip of the vibers.
Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the need to urge a freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug.
Hey.
Put a little country twang on it. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we are in the house on a Wednesday. A good Wednesday, man. This is probably what might be the last show before the holidays start, right?
Yes.
Because I think Saturday's Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Sunday is Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know if we'll be doing shows then because I got to go eat my aunt's cooking. I can't.
Yeah, and I got to make banana pudding, honey, to be a goddamn riot.
Yeah, so we got to keep it. We got to keep it with the family times for the holidays. So this might be the Christmas edition of the Blackout Tips for a lot of people. And we couldn't do Christmas without family. And I feel like Three Guys Own is family. So you should recognize the voices at the start of this podcast. We got my man Andy Klein. What's going on, man?
Things are good. I just moved. I'm still unpacking. Loving life in a new house. You guys just moved recently, right?
Yeah, man. I really enjoyed the opportunity to redecorate and all that stuff, and even though
start afresh.
Yeah, I try to just keep it positive. You know what I mean? Moving sucks, but
yes,
you just try to keep it somewhat positive.
Yes, and we
I haven't hung a single picture. I've done none of that yet. I'm only about a month in, but I feel like it's going to be a good 4-month process.
Yeah.
To even unpack everything.
It's a process. It's a long process. And we did old people shit like high movers and that type of
so
shit. Cause I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that. Mm-mm.
Well, it's like, that George Carlin bit about how everybody thinks they have stuff and other people have shit. But when you have when you have to move, you realize how much of your stuff is shit. Cause you be like, I don't want that. You're like, do I really need a motherfucking kegerator? I don't think so. That shit's going to the trash. I'm not lifting that.
I got 2 crock pots. I only need one. One got to go.
Yeah, I don't need to lift another item that y'all motherfuckers can come down here and get this washing machine. I'm not lifting it. No, like I was just giving away shit that last couple of weeks. Like, just come get it. What you want? TV? Need the end tables?
Right.
As long as you come in and carry it your motherfucking self. I'm
it's
not helping.
Yours.
That's the only warning you getting. And then also, they were renovating apartments in our apartment complex, and it just got to ours, and they were like, we about to hook this shit up, but y'all gotta move.
Yeah, they was like, you can't renew. Renewal is not an option.
So we moved, right up the block in our same apartment complex. But, it was cool though, cause the renovations are dope, man. We got the Nest thermostat thing where you can use your phone and Wi-Fi, and like when you leave the house, it can tell. So it's like, oh, we can let it be cold in here and save some money.
Yeah, it's like nobody in the house.
Yeah, then when you come back, it turns on magically. Like, oh, we know you home. You know, you getting close to the house. Let's put it back to 70 degrees or whatever. And then also, we got like this under cabinet lighting. We got this, we got one of those Bluetooth speakers that's just in the kitchen somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I don't know where, it's just in the kitchen.
Yeah, just all kinds of little like wood floors and shit. Just, I mean, they really hooked it up. So it's like, if we moving, at least we, you know, getting some new shit.
Right.
Paid us more rent.
Right. If I'm paying more, I want to see where my money go. I give them credits. I seen where my money go.
Yeah.
That's apartment, not a house.
Yeah, just an apartment. Yeah, just an apartment, man. They just hooked it up.
Around here, you'd be paying like $3,000 a month or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With integrated Bluetooth speakers. Like that's thermostat. I almost bought one of those, actually. The only reason I want one is so I can just sit in bed and change the temperature.
Dog.
From my phone.
It's worth it for that alone.
Yes,
like,
it is.
I'll be in the bedroom sometime. I'll be like, it's hot. I don't want to get up and go in that motherfucking living room. Or even worse, the worst is when it's cold.
That thermostat alone is worth $1,000 a month on rent.
Yo, the worst is when it's cold. Cause when it's cold, you really don't want to get out of the warm bed. But it's the only thing that's keeping you strictly in your bed is how fucking cold it is in your house. So you just don't do shit. But when you got that little, when you got the app, you can just be like, oh, no, turn the heat up.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get up in about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah. And even better than that, he ain't got to depend on me to do it because I will go on it and I will fuck the shit up.
Yeah. Karen, Karen has a college degree but refuses to learn how to operate a thermostat. At this point I don't even know what it is.
Let me tell you something, brother. It ain't just Karen.
It's all women.
My damn side.
Oh, you don't know how to do it. Okay.
I know it's our women. Let me just say it like
okay,
that.
Okay. Black women, y'all don't fuck with the thermostat. I don't know the rules. I've just been walking around this whole time thinking I married the one person who can't read a thermostat.
Oh no. I'm not even saying that. I'm saying your woman and my woman.
Okay.
That's black and white. So
okay.
I don't know what the It's just bananas, man. Yeah, I'm like, you can't work this. I've shown you
so many times. So many fucking times. It's like, you know what it is? It's honestly, man, let's just keep it real. This is what happens when people don't give a fuck about what you say, man. It's like how your dog knows you gonna clean up the shit anyway. You know what I mean? So it's like, fuck it, man. If it's cold in here, I'll just make you do it. Like, you'll come on, you'll be cold, and then you'll fuck with the thermostat. But I'm not doing shit.
Yeah.
Oh, either like me, I made it worse because he told me to go turn the temperature, and so I set the temperature. Didn't realize I had to click the shit over the heat. Had the house freezing.
It was like fucking 50 degrees in here for like 2 days. It was like a long ass time. I woke up the next day like, what the fuck did I shit break? And I went and I was like, and it was like the thermostat was like, yeah, 70-something degrees. Or whatever, but the actual temperature in the house was like 43 degrees. I was like, what the fuck happened? I told you to set it. And she was like, I did. And I was like, you didn't even turn it to heat? There's only 3 buttons on it. Cool, off, and heat. It's not even difficult. She don't care, man. So
I thought it was already on heat. Shit.
I've been there, man. Just stand here. What are you looking at? Where are you looking?
Right, I thought it was on heat. Why would I say turn on the heat if it was on heat? That's like go turn on the car if the car already running. That doesn't make sense to say turn on the car. Anyway, how you doing anyway, Randy? This is, of course, Randolph Terrence. You guys should know him from Three Guys On as well.
Hey, buddy. Man, I'm doing all right. I went to the doctor today. I found out I am just diabetic. I'm definitely going to have diabetes, and I should definitely curtail my drinking.
The brown,
which I will be doing, the highlight of my day.
Going to the doctor. Did they say you have diabetes right now, or they're like pre-diabetic?
If I didn't work out right now, I'd probably be blind. Loss of foot, whole 9 yards.
You would have had the sugars.
Because I work out the way I work out, I'm keeping it in check. And I've been keeping it in check apparently for years now.
Mm.
You know,
so are you delaying the foot loss, or is it going to be prevented?
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah.
let's hope.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
Yeah,
that's wild too, because of what you do for a living, you know.
And that's what they said, and they were like, "Well, we can't tell you to work out more, so we can't do that."
And you definitely would lose some customers if you lost a foot.
I just come in. Hey,
that's some horrible advertising. You know what I mean?
A trainer with a walker.
Yeah. What's up with your trainer? Oh no. Randolph's a great trainer. I mean, he lost a foot to the sugar.
Yeah. Now drop and give me 20.
Right. You lazy. Get up, man. You don't even got a foot. What are you talking about? Yeah, he could just be like a cautionary tale.
It's just genetics, man. It burns through my family like fucking wildfire.
Mm.
So there's nothing I can do about it.
You could be a cautionary.
On the other side, my blood pressure's perfect. So.
Oh, that's good. Well, you know, also, though, you could be like a cautionary tale. Like, if you lost a foot, you could just, like, buy an eye patch or something and then just go in there and be like, don't you want to be like me? You want to be like me? You need to start getting on these weights. You know what I mean? Two more laps.
You think this shit is cute? Yeah. You think this shit is cute?
It's like Scared Straight for people that want a personal trainer.
But I tell you one thing, when you talk about your health, you know when you old, when shit start mattering like blood pressure and cholesterol. I didn't know what the fuck none of that was in my 20s. Cause I just ate what the fuck I wanted to do and didn't care. But now they're like, hey, you know that number getting high? I was like, what that upper number mean? What that lower number mean? Now explain some shit to me. You talking about I might die? You know, that's when I started to get curious.
Yes, yes. You might die.
Right.
Yes.
Heart attack, stroke, people, you don't consider that in your 20s. So, honey, I've been on it. I dropped my blood pressure from like 250 something to 140. I was like, fuck that. Not my blood pressure, my cholesterol. I was like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, you get the numbers down. Yeah, my numbers are my cholesterol. Everything else is perfect. It's just that.
Mm.
That's why the doctor was like, well, it's clearly genetic because everything else is above excellent. Whatever is above excellent, I'm there on that. So he's like, it's clearly genetic. So, fuck. She's like, good luck.
Damn, genetics is
so
a beast.
Here we are.
Oh, I don't want you to be like Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. in Rogue One.
Yeah, with the iron feet.
I don't think that was diabetes that got him.
I'm going to see it tomorrow. Don't talk about it.
Yeah, that wasn't diabetes that got his legs. That was the war. You gotta
put that in the movie. Put that in the movie. That'd be the one thing. The black guy still's got the sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, if he would have had a monologue where he was like, I couldn't stop those donuts.
I had to have another piece of cake.
Man, he was acting so good, man. You're going to really enjoy it, man. That it was some good black acting where he was totally over the top, which is something I love. I love when actors, there's a lot of movies where the one actor decides that he's fucking going for it and you don't know, like, well, you do realize this is a CGI space movie. You don't have to do this. And he was like, fuck it. I'm going all in. And he went all in, dog.
I was here for it.
I don't know. It's like, you can't even place the accent because it's like Shakespearean mixed with Idi Amin.
Mixed with an oxygen tank.
Yeah. Like, he was overacting so good, man. I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just saying because you see it in the trailer when he's like, the banners rain down over us. And you're like, why is he talking like this? Oh, it's so good. I want to see it again, man, just for him. Like, I love the movie, but I just want to see his part again.
That might be the Christmas movie, because every Christmas we go out with the family. But
No. We already know the Christmas
movie. Oh, no, that's fancy.
Yeah, Christmas Fences. Movie is Fences. Yeah.
Oh, that's out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not even. Does that come out on Christmas?
How was Donnie Yen in Rogue One? He's the Asian, the blind Asian guy.
Oh, he was great.
Excellent.
He was great. And it was his character got to be a little bit of comic relief too in a very dark movie. So his part was funny, but he was a beast as always. Yeah. I mean, he's Donnie Yen. Although, I mean,
yeah.
I do feel like the Empire might want to look into, I feel like they have some mass misappropriation of funds and they definitely want to look into whatever the fuck the armor is made out of. Cause there's no way that shit is up to code. I've never seen a stop a laser. And you can knock them out like they're not wearing armor. Like, you can just hit them with a stick and knock them out. You can't even do that with someone wearing a football helmet. But, legitimately, a few times every movie, someone just gets punched wearing that fucking armor. And they're just, like, knocked out for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
The money's not right.
I've always thought that, too.
Yeah, the money.
I've always thought that, too. What was that?
Budget cut. Yeah, it's like, like when we first went to Iraq, the Marines were like, we don't even have any armor on our vehicles because of budget cuts.
Yeah, well, you think with a clone army, you would spend so much money cloning them.
Right.
That the armor would be better, but I mean, I guess it was the opposite. Maybe cloning cost so much, they were like, God, we got to get this dollar store armor, man. This is what's left.
Oh, this family dollar armor.
Yeah. They'll feel brave. Yeah,
it could also be they figured, look, we got... Listen, whoever dies, we can clone three more.
Right.
We ain't waste some money on armor. We put all the money into the clone.
Right. They, so, you know what? They were just like, they was like, look, man, what are we worried of? It's like Shaq. Like, Shaq doesn't work on free throws because he's just going to dunk on your ass. And they probably thought to themselves, like, look, man, we can dunk on them with the Death Star. Why the fuck do we need to invest in troop armor? Don't just give them some styrofoam helmets right. and yeah, send them out there. Right. And then they found out the Death Star had a back hole in it, and they were just like, fuck.
Just fill them with candy and have little kids hit them with sticks.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Paint them white so they can be hit from a distance. Keep on.
No camouflage.
You go to war with the armor you got. That's just...
you know, somebody was like, color, we spend color. That's $2 extra for a uniform. Nope.
Right.
Right.
Shout out to Disney though.
Are
Disney.
You
black? I love.
Right.
Yeah, like even their ships was white. I was like, in space, that's the dumbest color you can make a ship. It's literally the one. It's like a bullseye on the ship, dog. Didn't make any sense, man. Darth Vader had a black TIE fighter because he was smart. Everybody else was dumb as shit, man. Oh, anyway, I love those movies. So just don't think about them too hard. But yeah. Andy, man, you just recorded your hour and you're working on chopping up the audio and stuff. When do you think it's going to be out, man?
Well, I'm planning to do a lot of, I guess just over Christmas and probably New Year's too, a lot of work on it. So if I'm lucky, mid-January it's going to be out. If not, then maybe late January. I don't think it's going to be later than January, though. I just got to get everything. You know, I'm gonna listen to it and hate it and change it and listen to it again. And then finally, I'll probably just give up. You know, it won't be settling. It'll just be giving up. Like, fuck it, put it out. So it all went well, though. It's a good problem to have. I got a lot of good stuff to sort of decide on, you know, except for the one dude who heckled me on the first night, which I probably won't keep that. I was going to keep that in as like a bonus track, but I'm not going to put that in.
Mm. And this it'll be right around when tax returns are coming, so it'll be a good time to drop it,
mm-hmm.
get that tax return money. And for people that, you know, wondering about the quality, I mean, he also did Randolph's Blue Apron, and that Blue Magic.
I'm about to say Blue Apron.
Blue Apron. Yeah, Randolph cooks, and he gets Blue Apron every month, and Andy signed him up for that. but he did Blue Magic, and I know a lot of people that listen to our show have went and bought Blue Magic.
And it's very funny.
And, it's not just that it's funny, but it's also like really well professionally cut.
Yes, it is.
So I know Andy shit is going to be top notch too.
Yeah. And I did Tim's too. Tim didn't do much fanfare when he put his out. He just
yeah, I got Tim's
like one Facebook post.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. I heard Tim's on like a streaming service. I don't even know where to buy Tim's because Tim is like, I guess a lot of comedians do this, man. If you're a comedian and you listen to our podcast, listen, man. I know it's not cool, but tell people where to buy your shit because I can't buy it if I don't know where the fuck it's at.
Learn how to sell.
And don't be too cool to sell your own shit
because
you spend a lot of time in this shit. Like, you spend a lot of time. It's a whole lot of ball breaking, a whole lot of confidence testing, a whole lot of disrespect. Working for drink tickets and shit, and then you come to this culmination where you like, I got 45 minutes of good stand up I can just drop right now, and then it's like one link one time, and then nobody knows where to get your shit, man. Be proud of that shit, man. Put that shit out, cause his shit was dope, man.
It ain't proud. It's that comics are lazy.
Well, comics don't like to self promote. They're bad at it. They don't like to do it. A lot of comics sell t-shirts after shows, and when you sell t-shirts, you got to stand in the back,
right,
and greet people, and you want to just go sit in the green room by yourself. I don't know that I could sell t-shirts, but if it's my CD, you know, I feel like that's a substantive product. The t-shirt, I feel like I'm just a t-shirt salesman.
I think for self-promotion for comics, they feel like male feminist. Like, if you got to say it, then you probably ain't real. So it's like, you know, so it's like, if I gotta tell you I got a funny ass album, then it's like, I really don't have a funny ass album, cause that's the same thing unfunny motherfuckers say when they got an album. So, you know, it's like, they want somebody to vouch.
That's actually very smart insight and kind of real that, having in that thing in them of why do I have to keep, I'm funny, why do I gotta keep telling you that I'm funny?
Right.
You should wanna go get my shit, you know, so you kind of feel that aspect a lot.
Well, look, yeah, man, if Tim listens to this later, hey, man, please tweet out a couple links, man, because I don't know where to find it, and I want to support, bruh. So,
and I guess for me, it's probably why I'm not a comedian. I would get on everybody's motherfucking nerves because I'd be like, I'm here. This is where I'm at. This is my website. This is my link. Come find me.
Yeah,
I'm here.
I don't mind that shit,
me
man.
Me either. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody else do. You don't tell Coca-Cola to go somewhere and shut the fuck up. Coca-Cola everywhere.
Right. Or people be complaining like they promote too much while they sipping on a Coke.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, tell me where to buy your shit and I'm there, dog. So, same thing goes for Andy.
Tim is on Amazon and iTunes, but you can stream it on Spotify. I know that.
All right, cool. So, well, I'm going to get it off of Amazon.
And I'm up to do it.
Hold on. Say yours again, Randolph. You cut off.
Apparently, I'm on Pandora Plus.
Okay. And then if they want, but are you still on CD Baby?
Yes, I'm still on CD Baby. I'm on Amazon. I'm on Google Play. I'm everywhere.
Randolph Terrence, man.
Pandora Plus is the new shit, man. Yeah, Randolph Terrence, Blue Magic.
Yeah, go get that shit, man. Like, I wouldn't tell y'all something funny unless it was.
Ain't that
the truth? And Tim Miller is the other dude that's on Three Guys On, and his shit was hilarious as well. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, I'm about to go look up the name again. It's been so long since I listened.
Rule of Thirds.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a photography reference. I don't really know. I guess. Like CD Baby does all that. You go to CD Baby, you pay them a few bucks, and they put your stuff on Amazon and iTunes and Spotify, and they keep a little piece of what you make off it, but they give you the whole service if you want it.
Okay,
because that's easier for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, and here's the thing, man. If you go stream it or listen to it, you want to check it out. I understand, you know, because you are paying whatever $10 a month for Spotify and shit. But if you like it, man, go buy it. Go find it and buy it, because there's still nothing better than buying it. You know, go write a review wherever you picked it up, iTunes, Amazon, you know. Support these independent people, man, because trust the kind of people that are like getting made in a factory, they don't have no problem getting support. So your one review, your five stars, it matters a lot to a lot of individual people that are out here doing shit for themselves and getting up and sacrificing, working on this craft every day like a samurai just so they can put out some top-notch material. So don't just be a jerk that absorbs that shit and then goes mo for me and then just dips, man. So, you know, go put something on it. Anyway, this PSA has been brought to you by independent media people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some news, y'all. Oh wait, I guess I did all that talking. I didn't intro the show. Yeah, so this is the Blackout Tips, and you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. They're going to be uploading some new videos to their YouTube channel every day for the rest of the year. So you guys could really help them out by going to their YouTube channel, watching, liking, and commenting on videos.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free, easy way to support the Blackout Tip sponsor. Thanks, guys. Check it out. And it's YouTube and their Shadow Dog Production, all one word, on YouTube. So just go look at their new videos, like them. You know, there's all, you can look at other stuff like with me and Karen behind the scenes, and
yes,
there's all kinds of shit on there, that like outtakes and bloopers from our album recordings and stuff. So yeah, make sure you do that. YouTube, Shadow Dog Production. All right, man, let's get to this news. So y'all didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton, and now Texas is going to cut Planned Parenthood from Medicaid. Yep. Planned Parenthood will no longer receive funding from Texas Medicaid program, state health officials announced Tuesday. Officials delivered a final legal notice to Planned Parenthood, the Texas Tribune reported, and the change will take effect in 30 days unless the organization files an appeal with the state. I'm sure they will, but the problem is the state is the same people saying we're not going to do this shit.
Right.
Governor Greg Abbott, Republican, and state health officials first moved to cut Medicaid funding last year when controversial undercover videos of Planned Parenthood officials surfaced. And if everybody remembers those videos, they were highly doctored. They were by the same people that faked the videos with Acorn and got Acorn shut down because Democrats and liberals have no fucking spines. And it worked. So they were able to use these videos last year to kind of be like, oh, we should cut the funding to Planned Parenthood. And even though they knew it was the same trick, but it's just something they've been wanting to do to shut down women's access to healthcare and specifically access to pregnancy terminations. So they were just like, yeah, dog, we gonna be cutting this shit off. And now that they have Trump and a whole bunch of other Republicans in place, a lot of these people feel emboldened and they're just like, who gonna stop me?
So not only so I can't get birth control, I can't get STD tested, I can't
mammograms,
I can't get pap smears.
Child care, like prenatal stuff for women that are pregnant but just need can't get that.
So, no,
there you go. Yep.
This is from people who are pro-life, so they seem to have an interest in, you know, successful pregnancies.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe forcing a woman to carry a baby to term.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're there.
Pro-woman, pro-family, I mean, they're religiously even taking care of those that are, so they're all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they all those things?
No.
Well, Planned Parenthood is the boogeyman, so it doesn't matter what the truth is about it. They like to point, you know, it's the same thing where people just point to something and say, that's the bad thing, not me, and then they get rid of it, and then they have to come up with a new thing after that. They're still hungry. They're just devouring these things. So Planned Parenthood is the next thing in the crosshairs. People who could benefit from it don't even know what benefits it provides. They just think, oh, they give abortions every 10 minutes or something, you know, like this weird, all these, all the memes and shit that you see about Planned Parenthood that aren't true at all. People believe that shit.
And so they're not going to fight it. A candidate for president was during a debate just said that he saw a video where they took like a 9-month old pregnancy, quote unquote, a live baby and just killed it. Like, he said that, and everybody went, but where are her emails? So, this is the country we have now.
That was, because Carly Fiorina said, oh, you could see the baby still moving, and they were talking about harvesting its organs, and then it was obviously fake or false, and she just doubled down. You don't even have to take, to be called out anymore. You can just be like, nope, saw it.
And it's no coincidence that their government would try this specifically after, you get president-elect Donald Trump. Like, of course they feel like this is a mandate. Like, this is a statement the people have spoken. Where the only thing standing between us and pretty much total chaos has been President Obama by himself for the last 6 years. Possibly 8 years, it really, because that first 2 years wasn't a mandate for Democrats. So he's been the only thing being like, look, we'll withhold federal funding, we'll fight this shit, I'll send my AG down there. He's been the only person, and now that wall is gone because people needed to see Hillary Clinton's emails, and she said super predator a long time ago. So we should have ran one of the men who either wrote
Ultimately, it's the thing of, I don't care about you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see you, therefore you don't exist. So the people that take these services in are Latino generally, because the Latino population in Texas happens, it's not so much the Latino population, but if you're talking about the poor population, you're talking about the Latino population. Those people don't exist to them, so they don't care. They don't care. It's just I don't give a fuck. I don't care. I don't care. But it's what they fail to understand is that there are in Texas hundreds of thousands of poor white women who gain these same services, and they're fucking them too.
Right.
But again, even then, they don't see these women. and they don't care. Well, fuck her. She lives in a trailer park. She deserves it.
Yeah, and I think there's a, like, someone was
pull herself up by her bootstraps, right?
When I was talking about this on Twitter, a person was like, yeah, man, white people really fucked up on this one. A lot of them are going to get hurt. And I was like, it's not just white people on this, because I know black men who are like, I'm a man, I ain't worried about that shit. I know middle class women and men who think, well, I have insurance. I'll find a way to, I have a job. I'll find a way. If I get pregnant, I'm good. I'll figure it out.
That job, dog.
But the point, right. But people that feel insulated, from this shit were comfortable being like, well, I'm just sitting my ass home. I ain't voting. You know what I mean? Like, it's more than just, I went in and pulled the lever for Donald Trump. There's a lot of people that just felt comfortable being like, well, I think she's gonna win. Everything's saying she's gonna win, but I'm not gonna do my part and try to make sure she wins, because I expect the privileges I have to be protected on some levels. And I think a lot of people, they wouldn't admit it to your face, but straight up, I refuse to waver on it. You thought you had some level of protection.
Yes, you did.
And you figured that shit wasn't gonna go down like this, but it is.
Right, and then you see motherfuckers panic. They've been bashing her and not saying they was gonna vote for her and all just kind of crazy shit. And like I said, I had to check my heart, because I was like, well, you get what you deserve, dog.
Yeah, I mean, it's, look, there's still gonna be people who won't be affected by this that didn't vote. It's just, like I said, it's just callous.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you live in a state where you're like, my state's blue and we do all this shit locally for ourselves, and you decided like, I ain't gonna vote, you know what I mean? Like, or you promoted not supporting this person, or you were hypercritical of her and lax on Trump. Yeah, you, like, this is part of your doing too. Like, that mentality was bad for a lot of people. So
this is just the not caring about the community at large, not caring about, look, they're not close to me, I don't care. It's not seeing other people as your neighbors beyond the people who live around you.
Right.
It's about seeing everybody in the nation as a community and everybody in the nation as your neighbor. And I don't give a fuck about these people. Also, now, you'll never say that.
Right.
You'll never say that out loud, but also, that's how you feel.
Right. That's the worst. That's the worst part.
It would be first and foremost in your mind to say, I got to go out and do this, because there's somebody somewhere who's gonna need this.
That's the worst part, dog. Yeah. Because like, in my state, while we do have we've gone blue now after 3 months and I'm counting votes, whatever. Anyway, we've gone blue or whatever, but people keep focusing on HB2, right? This bathroom bill, no protection under the law for people of LGBTQ people and whatnot, and people are right, that shit is fucked up. That same administration made it so that they could still police videos of shootings of innocent or of unarmed people, and the only way to see it is for the family to take it to a very expensive court process just so they can see it.
And they can still tell you no.
And they can still say no, right? So I wasn't going to vote for that reason, although that is as good enough reason for my ass to go out and vote anyway. I went to vote because I was like, well, HB2 was wrong and we need to fight against that, and not just like get it off the books because of losing money, but just because it's morally wrong. And Charlotte, my city, had it right in the first place, which was, we need to be more accepting, we need to be we need to fight against discrimination and stuff like that. I just feel like a lot of people, they talk that good game, but at the end of the day, they're more about their high horse than anything else. So they just, you know, it was easier to just be like, oh, well, fuck them all. They all the same to me. I don't like Hillary Clinton. She ain't getting my vote. I know that. Like, it was easy to say that shit, thinking she would win anyway. And now that she didn't, now it's like, oh, I'm just going to be real quiet over here for the next 4 years.
Yeah, well, a lot of them,
yeah,
is crickets now.
Well, a lot of those people who protest with their vote, they're not really protest-minded people. It's not like they're out there always protesting. And right, suddenly they have this interest in protesting, and they're clumsy about it. They haven't protested before. They haven't really thought about the effects of their protest. And so they just think, oh, I'm the protester by right, just, you know, sitting at home, which is not a protest at all.
No.
And then they try to couch it in this idea that, you know, I'm – I'm exercising my voting power, and you're really not. You're giving it away.
Right.
You know, you're not using your power. You're actually handing it to someone else.
And the thing is,
they don't know what protesting is. They've never done it. They don't have that mindset.
The thing that's weird to me is that it wouldn't have stuck with her if it wasn't a woman. Because
correct.
All the people that people put up as alternatives that they believe would have won, you know, whether it's Joe Biden who wrote the crime bill, or whether it's Bernie Sanders who voted for the crime bill,
yes,
they're still like they're just as guilty, if not more so, because they actually took the actions that made that shit happen.
Right.
But yet somehow we don't think of them that way. We think of them quote unquote fondly for the most part. Even with their roles in that, in the same complicity being right there in front of everybody's face, it's like, nah, it's different for them somehow. And the only thing I'm left to believe is like, it wouldn't have stuck to her if she was a man.
Yep. And I've been saying that from the very beginning. If Hillary Clinton would have been anybody else, in the male, she'd have won.
Yeah.
Well, just look at her husband. He had plenty of scandals and he won huge in 92. In 96,
right.
if you just even the sex scandals, if you were to have Hillary run with only that level of scandal, but that many people, you know, she wouldn't have won. And Bill Clinton, people were just like, ah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we like him. He's likable.
Yeah. Like, people talk about all these privileges and shit all the time, but that's one of them still. That shit sticks to women, unlike it'll stick to men, you know. Donald Trump was pretty much a PR disaster. And
yeah,
if you're a minority, you're a brown person or you're a woman, you got to be perfect. It's not so much that you have to be perfect on paper. You have to have the perception of perfection around you at all times in order to win. You take Barack Obama. Yeah, he's fucking perfect. He's perfect. And they still don't want to work with him, but he's perfect family, perfect everything, no scandal hanging over him, no nothing, and they just invented shit. So
right.
Here you take Hillary Clinton, and we've allowed her to be smeared for 30 years, at least. It's got to be about 30 years now she's been being smeared. Not even so much just smeared by people on the right. The people on the left have allowed these smears to happen.
Right.
The media, who knows these smears aren't true, have allowed them to happen. And how about this? Even through all that, she's still in
one.
The popular vote is 3 million more
right.
votes than him.
Right. Like, it really came down to about 110,000 votes throughout America in about three different places.
And no one talks about voter suppression.
Right.
No one talks about that anymore.
Like, people go through all, they go through all the mental gymnastics of trying to find a way that, this was a mandate on America, when the reality of, at least for president, when the reality of the whole thing was just the wrong areas went wrong for her. Like, she won in a landslide in many ways, but she needed more voters in like three different states, and that's it. Which is one of the reasons I always fight against the narrative of she ran a bad campaign, she was a bad candidate. You don't win by 3 million if you're just a bad candidate. You know what I mean? You get your ass kicked. You know what I mean? You get your ass kicked. If you're a bad candidate, if you ran a bad campaign, like, a big part of this shit for me though, even beyond all that, she could have ran the perfect campaign. It really wouldn't matter, because I really think white people were energized to vote for Donald Trump in a way that a lot of people just did not anticipate, because everybody was coasting on that. Well, if America will vote for Barack Obama, why the fuck would they just be racist again in 8 years? And it's like, yeah, dog, it happens. Some people go through a phase, they date black dudes in college, and then they come out and they'd be like, oh, back to races. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty much what America did. America had their trial Negro. You know, they went with the safest one they could find, that wouldn't piss off dad too much. And then as soon as, that motherfucker, got out, they were like, yep, never doing this shit again. It wasn't anything like the stereotypes I heard. So.
Well, you know what happened was they got this black guy, and this black guy, all of a sudden, he started acting black over the 8 years.
Right, right.
I thought he wasn't like this. Oh, no, he's like that.
Yeah, and he
Why
wasn't.
Did he tell those Black Lives Matter people to be quiet? Because he kind of agrees with them. You know, why doesn't he say that Trayvon was wrong to fight? Well, because he feels for Trayvon.
And he was.
Why is he dancing with Usher? Because he likes that. How come he keeps talking to hip hop, talking about hip hop music? Because he listens to hip hop music. I ain't voting for that no more.
And he was relatively, in my opinion, relatively conservative with it. Like, he didn't even go all out. Like, I know a lot of black people that like, they'll never, ever, ever really like Obama because they wanted him to be a level of black that meant he would have never been elected. You know what I mean? And it's like that, it's that double bond, that double, double standard that he's under, where even as black people, we actually hold him to a higher standard than we hold other presidents, but we wouldn't admit it. Where it's like,
right.
So not every black people, but some black people will be like, oh, well, he should have came out and said, fuck these cops. I don't care if the protesters burn some shit down. You're like, what? No president was ever going to say that. Like, how the fuck do you become president if you think like that? No, that's an activist talking. That's a, you know what I mean? Like, that person doesn't get elected. The vast majority of the United States would just be like, that dude's unelectable. So it's just kind of interesting though, because he's kind of caught that too. So even in his blackness, I feel like he was always kind of reserved, and it was always kind of that, like, hey, he could be like my black friend in my head. And except even that kind of blackness still has to come out every once in a while and be like, yeah, man, so Black Lives Matter doesn't mean it's a terrorist organization. Black Lives Matter just means Black Lives Matters too. And people are like, the fuck? This motherfucker said it's okay to kill cops. You're like, whoa, where did that come from?
Right.
I think a lot of people wanted him to do kind of what Trump is doing now, which is, yeah, I ran on all these things that I said, but I don't mean any of that shit. I'm going to do the opposite or whatever I want. They wanted to, like, kick in the door and say, you know, fuck all that campaign stuff. Now I'm in. I'm going to do all this radical stuff.
Right.
And which is what Trump is doing. And people, I guess some people feel betrayed by that. The people who thought Trump was going to be a different, drain the swamp, for example, whatever that's supposed to mean. And some people didn't even believe Trump with the healthcare stuff. They're like, oh, he's not going to cut healthcare. And he most likely is, but he did. Trump was walking around going, basically, I didn't mean any of that stuff I said on the campaign. That plays well on the campaign, but I'm not doing that now. And people actually wanted Obama to be that way. Some people.
Right. Yeah, I think so too. I think a lot of white people also thought, because he believes in a certain level of respectability politics, which a lot of older black people do, they were like, oh, okay, so he'll just like really be tough on black people and say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and that'll be the end of that. But while he would give a speech like that once every couple of years, he also would give a lot of speeches about systemic racism and oppression and how to, and I'm gonna do my brother's keeper program, and I'm gonna commute a whole bunch of people's sentences. And I think they didn't like any of that shit. Or he's talking about Ferguson. Also, they didn't like any of that shit.
Black ass Eric Holder. So forget that.
Right, Eric Holder. Like, there was a lot, like, that's one of the things that's gonna suck under a next president, is that what people saw for 8 years is an aberration. Like, there's no investigating police departments. That's like, people got, I think sometimes, you know what? Obama's like LeBron. He's like LeBron. You get him on your team and you think, I'm a contender. But then you look around and you're like, wait a minute, dog. These motherfuckers suck without him.
Yes, they do. And that's terrible.
That's pretty much where we're at, I think, right now, where we're looking around at the rest of the Democrats like, y'all motherfuckers are Tyronn Lue,
Mo Williams.
Like, we not going to the playoffs because, like, that motherfucker was so good that if you didn't win the championship, you came down on him and him alone. But, you know, you didn't realize that for at least 6 of the last 8 years, Republicans have won the House and the Senate, which means the country is not as blue as you've been allowed to think because you had a blue president. So I think that a lot of people are just kind of coming around to that post LeBron hangover. But it's going to get worse now, guys. Okay. It's going to get way worse. So
now you're the Sixers.
Right. Yeah. Trust the process, as they say, because, it's about to get bad.
Ugly.
So, all right. Lena Dunham.
Oh, you going to say something right now?
speaking of pro-choice. Lena Dunham has apologized. We reported yesterday that Lena Dunham said on her podcast that she wishes she had gotten an abortion, which, by the way, I think a lot of people took offense to that, more so because it was Lena Dunham and she's just the queen of doing too much. Like, it's just a cumulative effect, because if you're pro-choice and you're really about that shit, if a woman wants to make that choice, it really isn't anybody's business to say how she should have to feel about it.
Right.
But it's Lena Dunham. So everybody went, this is like going to fucking the Boys and Girls Club and saying, I wish I had been born poor so I could be heroes like y'all.
Right.
You know what I mean? People are like, why you got to take it the extra mile? You could have just gave a big check to everybody,
right? You know,
bought the swing set and left.
Right. Like, it's not a badge of honor to be born in poverty, dog.
Yeah, well, anyway, she didn't say that, Cam. I'm just saying, making an example. Anyway, she apologized. She apologized for saying that shit, man. She said it was insensitive.
So, did she say it was a joke?
She said it was a distasteful joke in an Instagram post Tuesday. She says, my latest podcast episode was meant to be a multifaceted story about reproductive choice in America, to explain the many reasons women do or don't choose to have children and what bodily autonomy really means. I'm so proud of the medley of voices in the episode. I truly hope a distasteful joke on my part won't diminish the amazing work of all the women who participated.
The thing with jokes is, when you read them, they don't sound like jokes. I mean, if it's a podcast, I might have to just seek it out and hear what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because that could be something someone says as a joke easily.
Yeah, that's true. Because I didn't play the audio, I just read it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I haven't even looked for the audio. I just read the quote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably at the end of a long conversation. And, you know, we've all made jokes that were like that. But if you read the joke, it makes you look like a monster.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that, though? She, like, that is her brand of humor. Like, yeah. On her show, it is very much I go too far with my character of Hannah. Like, she says the one awkward thing that is so fucked up that it takes it away from her being a good person. So I can see her, if it was a joke. I mean, like I said, I would need to hear the context of it. But yeah, now I want to know if it's a joke. I said it yesterday when we read it. I was like, this feels a lot more like people thinking I don't like her than like you had 200 chances. This is not, even if you're right this time, you know, people are mad.
You know what?
Yes, sir.
I approach it like this. I don't give a fuck about her. So I expect silly shit to come out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you just go into it expecting that, then who gives a fuck? I mean, it's funny to talk about.
Right.
Or not even, I don't mean funny in the ha-ha way. I mean, it's funny and it's an interesting thing to kind of conversation to have, like the shit she was saying about Odell Beckham and stuff. But she's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So if you just approach her with that mindset, she's nothing to be mad about. I can say that. She's not really anything to be upset about because this is what she does. I don't even think she's smart enough to be doing this on purpose. I think it's kind of like Andy, you were saying, she just pops out of her mouth, you know, and she's trying to make a joke and this is how she makes jokes. It didn't work. Okay.
I'm gonna see if I can find.
Become a clinic expert.
Okay.
I'm gonna see if I can find where she said it. Hold on. I think I can find it.
Unblemished in this abortion. I'm a abortion rights activist. It's a huge part of who I am. But one day, when I was visiting a Planned Parenthood in Texas a few years ago, a young girl walked up to me and asked me if I'd like to be a part of her project in which women share their stories of abortions. I sort of jumped. I haven't had an abortion, I told her. I wanted to make it really clear to her that as much as I was going out and fighting for other women's options, I myself had never had an abortion. And I realized then that even I was carrying within myself stigma around this issue. Even I, the woman who cares as much as anybody about a woman's right to choose, felt it was important that people know that I was unblemished in this department. So many people I love, my mother, my best friends, have had to have abortions for all kinds of reasons. I feel so proud of them for their bravery, for their self-knowledge, and it was a really important moment for me then to realize that I had internalized some of what society was throwing at us, and I had to put it in the garbage. Now I can say that I still haven't had an abortion, but I wish I had.
I guess, all right, I don't like the, I don't like the blemish. It's not a blemish.
Music.
Okay.
Does she have music playing behind under her voice the whole time on her podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say nothing about that. When we first started, we used to. So
yeah, but she's only like, five. That's like the music that plays when the clown car rolls up at the circus.
Her music, you know, to me, her music sounded like the waiting office of a doctor. So maybe it was appropriate.
Like the PSA for kids.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
High school or in middle school for kids.
I'll say this: if that was a, like, you guys are comedians. Listen, do y'all think did that sound like a joke to y'all?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It sounded like you know, I've written little essays and things, and sometimes you want that last sentence to be the exclamation point to punctuate what you said. It sounded like a mic drop, like, you know, this is my clever turning of the phrase moment. It sounded like something a writer would do more than a comedian to say it like that. It didn't sound like a joke at all, though. It just sounded like, you look how good I am with words.
Yeah, this is why trust is so important with your brand, because I don't trust her.
Nope.
And it didn't sound like a joke to me. So I'm on the side of like, that shit, you weren't joking. You just got busted.
Yeah,
she gets
zero benefits of the doubt, particularly being a black woman. She gets zero benefits of the doubt.
Right. So I feel like,
What it is, Karen, is that she gets to be clumsy and no one else. Black women don't get to be clumsy. Black men don't get to be clumsy. White men can occasionally be clumsy and get away with, but white women get to be clumsy. And so, I mean, that was, she was, whatever she was trying to say, she clumsily said it. Mm. Again.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think for me, like I say, it's one of the things being a black woman, and I'm gonna tell you the truth, when it comes to race and being black, I'm super sensitive about that shit, because I look at everything, a lot of things, through the prism of racism and race and color, because at the end of the day, that shit directly affects me. And I don't mind people going and doing their thing and shining and thriving, but I do see how people praise her for certain things, like she's the best thing ever, when you're going, well, she's just a average looking woman just doing shit. Y'all keep acting and praising her like she's the best thing ever. That shit, for me being black, that shit gets old. When I was like, if a black woman did this same shit, y'all would be tearing her to pieces all up and down my fucking timeline. I'm not here for that.
Oh, it's the double standard for sure. Cause, you know, it's the same way that, like, her showing her body is brave. You know, Tina Fey doing it is brave.
It's bold.
Even though Tina Fey is a fucking smoke show for, you know, relatively for her age and whatnot. But people be like, it's so brave of her to just come out in her underpants. But then I remember Sofia Vergara did a gag at the Emmys, I believe, like 2 or 3 years ago, where they put her in her, you know, evening gown and spun her on this pedestal thing as they gave a speech about how people that were anti-diversity were essentially being anti-Sofia Vergara being on TV. So you must be out of your fucking mind. And the think pieces from white women the next day were all like, they used her body as a prop.
Right.
Like, they completely took away her agency, even though that she got up there her fucking self. Like, it's a joke that she's in on and thinks is funny. If they would have done the exact same gag with, say, Amy Poehler, they would have been like, so brave.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Think about this. People think Sofia Vergara is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
She's stupid. We have to protect her because they're taking advantage of her.
Right.
Because she's too stupid to understand what the joke is. Mm-hmm. Because of her accent, they think she's stupid. Mm-hmm. I grew up around women with that accent, Latino women with that accent, Mexican women with that accent. People think they're stupid. This girl's not stupid. What makes you think she's stupid? You think she didn't understand what this joke was? You think she didn't get the joke? She clearly has a sense of humor. She's in a comedy.
She's been in a bunch of comedy. She's also too good looking.
Right.
You know, Tina Fey looks like just your friend at the office who's pretty good looking for her age. Sofia Vergara is, you know, she was a model and she still looks like a model.
Okay.
Here's the thing about that, right? Tina Fey is in the top whatever percentile of women that look like Tina Fey. You know what I mean? Like she's Hollywood. Yeah. Like, she plays down and her jokes are all like, I'm such a dumpy old fat piece of shit. But then anyone who's watching the show is like, no, the fuck you aren't. But no, yet, right, right, but it gets to, but it, like, she clearly works out, like, her calves are, like, impeccable and shit. But then she gets to write her character as, I'm just a dumpy piece of shit. And people relate to the comedy because they're, you know, well, white women specifically relate to the comedy because they're like, that's me. But they don't do that for other women. You know, it's the same reason not. That Lady Gaga's so brave and bold, but Beyonce needs to put some clothes on. Constantly. And Rihanna is showing too much. And it's like, it's this huge double standard. And I think in a lot of cases, being in these black circles, some of the pushback that white women get is more about the reception that they got. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I don't think I know people that never gave Amy Schumer a chance. Mm-mm. But they never gave her a chance because the first place they saw her was Jezebel going, the definitive voice of feminism finally.
Right.
And then like, and yeah. Even though Amy Schumer's not saying I'm the definitive voice of feminism, it doesn't even fucking matter.
Nope.
The wrong white women liked her and it immediately put everyone on guard. Like, mm-hmm, let me see what jokes you got. When you gonna fuck up? When you gonna say some shit out that I think is fucked up?
Right.
And I think that happened same with Lena Dunham, you know?
Yeah.
She got lauded as the voice of women and feminism and all this shit. And you got a whole bunch of people that sat back, crossed their arms and was like, okay, all right, let's see. And when you get to be sloppy, like Randolph said, over and over and over again, yeah, it wears shit down. Cause I don't know that this statement was that inflammatory. I just know that this is the 200th statement and people right. are tired of her saying some fucked up shit and coming back and apologizing or saying it was a joke. And people go, yeah, your whole deal is breaking down when white dudes do those fuck up. And then that's how you got your claim to fame, is being like, look at these white men always fucking up. Am I right? And everybody's like, yeah. And white women sometimes too. And you're like, Eric, slow down, girls. Don't be attacking right. me, haters.
Right. And the thing is, it's all let's go and girl power until we get to race. And then that's where the separation hits for most right. black women. So it's like, yeah, we all girl power until it's about some shit I'm talking about that don't directly affect you in your space.
Right.
And then when I tell you that your shit, you blind in this spot instead of you listening to me, like you want these white men who quote unquote is the man over everybody to listen to you, you'll turn around and use the same tactics that they told you. You use those tactics towards me and just expect me to just eat it. And then next time some old girl power shit come up, you want my numbers. And I think black women are tired of being these mules for numbers. Mm-hmm. You want us when it's time to march. You want us when it's time to protest for your shit.
Right.
But when it's time for our shit, it's goddamn crickets. Because I can tell you right now, if a black woman did half the shit she did, we'd be called all kind of monkeys, all kind of gorillas. They'd be telling us to go back to fucking Africa. They'd be talking about our hair. Everything about us would be torn to shreds. And that's the shit for me personally. It was like, you know what? Fuck you, bitch.
Right, yeah. Is it justice or is it jealousy? You just want to be at the top of the food chain? Then that's not really all that girl power shit you talking is bullshit.
Right, and that also...
A lot of it,
go ahead.
Sorry. A lot of it is like this trade-off thing where it's, you know, I was down for your cause, so mm-hmm. you got to be down for my cause.
Right.
Whatever that cause may be, and you have to prop me up and, you know, until you intimidate me. And right. I think, like, Sofia Vergara is intimidatingly good-looking. Beyonce is intimidating for a lot of reasons.
Right.
Until when you intimidate me, it's too much. And Tina Fey doesn't intimidate white women. She empowers right. them.
It's
but
crazy.
A lot of women of color are this too much. You know, they can't relate, so they push back.
Right.
So, I'll go ahead,
Cam. You walk in the room and you present power. Mm-hmm. You present power in walking. You present power in the way you talk, you present power in the way you look, you present power in the attention you attract. And right. that's scary.
Right.
It's scary.
And they don't understand it, especially
taking all that away from somebody else.
And they don't understand it, especially when you speak about your specific hurdles that they don't go through, and that some of them are those hurdles. And then it's just like, you might right. as well be talking in that fucking Charlie Brown teacher voice. Karen, what were you gonna say? I'm sorry.
No problem. And to piggyback on what Randall was saying, black women's presence is a problem.
Right.
Us just being around, us reminding you that there's not really unity here is a problem. Us reminding you that you ain't got your shit all together. You are too, are also flawed. You too have issues. When we start talking about our problems that affect us, all of a sudden my presence becomes a problem. But my presence is not a problem as long as we're talking about the shit that you want to talk about. But the second we want to change right. the subject, and focus on somebody other than you and what's important to you, it becomes a problem. And you see it across the board, particularly when it with black women and white women, particularly when it gets down, you won't get real in feminism, because that's a big dividing line among a lot of people. You know, people, I know a lot of people stay quote unquote out of that, but a lot of that boils down to these same issues.
All right. And that's still in the power structure. There's still a lot of white people that are the, gatekeepers. So even like even up to a point when they get like they might be like y'all rah 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 we're all together, but then there's a point where their the responsibility comes down to them, which means that, you know, people start going, hey, when you said this thing it was kind of fucked up, and then it's like, oh, party's over, gate closed, you motherfuckers can all go home, no one talks about me, y'all just some haters. And that's kind of how shit shakes out, which in all fairness, that's what she normally runs to, Lena Dunham, but this time she's apologizing and saying it was a joke. She says, my words were spoken from a sort of delusional girl persona I often inhabit, a girl who careens between
what the fuck does that mean?
You know, her character, her character of Lena Dunham that she never talks about until now. She's been doing her podcast in the character all this time, and you guys just didn't know. You guys all got pumped.
You know who did that too was Amy Schumer when she was criticized for the jokes about the racist stuff, the stuff about I used to date Latino men but I prefer consent. She came out and said, well, a lot of my jokes are told from a character of a ditzy white girl,
right?
Which when was that set up,
right? And like, then on Twitter, like just this year or something, she was like, well, we all basically, she implied that black men do all the street harassing, and then it was like, was that in character or did you want to put that in italics or something first so we know that it's Amy Schumer the character actor and not you?
Yeah, she needs to have like a separate Twitter account.
I'm talking about the character of a well-dressed black guy who could be kind of pissed.
Yeah, that's what I'm. What next time I say something stupid
that he talks about a lot?
Next time I say something crazy, I'm just going, oh, you know, actually, that's my character of Rod. I've been working on him secretly for years. I actually don't believe any of that bullshit. Okay, so yeah, she says. A persona I often inhabit, a girl who careens between wisdom and ignorance, and that's what my TV show is too. And it didn't translate. That's my fault. I would never, ever intentionally trivialize the emotional and physical challenges of terminating a pregnancy. My only goal is to increase awareness and decrease stigma. I take reproductive choice in America more seriously than I take literally anything else, and therefore I own full responsibility for any words I speak that don't convey this truth clearly. I know plenty of people will never like a thing that leaves my lips, mea culpa or no, but this apology is for the women who have placed their trust in me. You mean everything to me. My life is and always will be devoted to reproductive justice and freedom. You know how in some households you curse and you have to put money in a jar. Well, in mind, if you mess up your pro-choice messaging, you have to give sizable donation to abortion funds. And she put a link to an abortion fund in New York, Texas, and Ohio. And then she put the money emoji. I look forward to fighting with you all the next 4 years and beyond. And then
Nicki Minaj was talking about the split personality stuff like that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj was all on that. What they tell Nicki Minaj? You better get your ass to a counselor. This other voice you got talking in your head.
Well, you know what I like about it is that Instagram post could be from her character. We don't know.
True.
Solve the mystery, guys. Like, I like life's little mysteries, you know? Maybe 2 years from now we'll find out. She's like, I didn't give any of that money. That was Hannah talking. I don't know.
Yeah, that was evil Lena Dunham with a goatee.
Yeah. She was rubbing her hands together like this the whole time. Several dozen people got fired from UCLA's medical center for leaking Kanye West's info.
Yeah, you gotta fire them. You have to.
Right.
Fire them. You get fired immediately. It's not even a question.
Isn't that a federal crime?
Let me see it. Now, leave. Go, bye.
Don't you sign forms and say, if I leak this shit, I lose my job? Yeah. They can press charges?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. I want to be sure.
I like how everybody thought they were going to cash out on this, though. Because I kept wondering, why the fuck was there all these news leaks when he went to, they were just like, he checked himself in. I was like, okay, so we probably won't hear anything about Kanye for a couple of weeks then.
Right.
And then it was just like, Kanye used the bathroom twice a day. I was like, what the fuck? Who is reporting this?
Kanye had a cheeseburger.
Right. They was telling.
Exactly why Karen was saying they slap a shut up clause on you. You got to sign papers.
Right.
Right.
You know, you, I see, when we find out, you're fired and you're not going to work in this industry anymore.
Right. He came out of that facility looking like the bad guys in Meteor Man and shit. It's like, how did y'all know this shit already, man?
And who did his hair while he was in there?
Right, yeah.
They do that?
That's who was snitching. It's always people that do hair to be gossiping. Girl, you know him and Kim almost got a divorce. You ain't heard it from me, though. A newscaster.
Hand me that relaxer.
Right. A newscaster throws up his co-host's artichoke dip on live TV.
Oh, shit. What happened? Was it that bad? Oh, he gave that the potluck.
That, like, I wasn't, I'm not gonna play the video. I just wanted to say, we did a whole show yesterday telling people,
don't eat
at your company potluck, dog. Okay?
You don't get sick.
Come up with a strategy.
It's not safe.
Right.
It's not safe. Were
they eating on the air?
They were eating live on the air, yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he spit it out.
He couldn't even hold it and run backstage.
He spit it out, dog. He just, it got too.
Oh, my God.
It got to be too much. He said it smelled
how
like
did
a.
He do the napkin, put the napkin over his mouth, and
I mean, if y'all want to see it, I'll take Karen off screen. I can show y'all the video.
Yeah, you can take me off screen.
All right. His hair sideways, just put it. Dude, that
one. And then just kept doing the news.
Right.
And now Wizards on the ones.
All right, listen.
Speaking of choking, the Lakers last night.
Speaking of choking, the cold gonna choke you when you walk outside.
Right. Karen, let me know when the screen's up and then I'll play it for everybody.
Okay.
Cause I did the screen share thing. But yeah, man, don't eat your coworkers' food. Okay. Mm-mm. A lot of these motherfuckers making shit for the first time.
It's up.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of these people making shit for the first time. Shit they don't even eat themselves.
Right. They were like, I'm gonna try this thing. No, you're not an expert in it.
Yeah, just leave that shit alone, dog.
Throughout the week, we've been sharing our holiday treat. Leslie, on tap this morning.
Yeah, it's not supposed to look like that.
There's a whole story here. So what is this?
Okay, so
what the fuck is that?
First of all...
Is that artichoke? You said that's
artichoke? That's artichoke dip.
Oh, no. No, no.
It looks like some type of pasta, right?
Artichoke? No.
And then also, they said it's not supposed to look like that.
Right.
Yeah. Why did you do the segment?
They're apologizing before they even feed you the food.
Right.
You know there's a problem.
I have never been to somebody's house and wanted to eat the food after they went, yeah, it's not supposed to look like that. Mm-mm. Anyway, you want a bowl of this shit?
You know what? I've cooked some shit and looked at Roger, go, it ain't supposed to look like that. Let's go get something to eat.
Right.
And I throw it all in
right
the trash.
Right in the trash.
Like, I didn't want to bake it. I've been busy, so I didn't want to make anything, but my family was all freaking out. Okay, this is what I wanted to do. This was plan A. This is my favorite Christmas thing. Oh, here's the Safeway wrapper.
Oh, thank you.
It's Christmas cake.
Fruit cake, yeah.
Okay,
from
but
Safeway.
You wanted to make some of that.
I love that.
So this is bought.
Seriously, well, I made...
First of all, that is fruit cake. Fruit cake is not cake.
Fruitcake is nobody's favorite anything.
No. Nobody even eats. You motherfuckers went to Safeway right before the show aired because you knew your artichoke dip was shit. And you were like, but get something Christmassy. And then you fucking bought $10 worth of fruitcake and brought it in. Like, this is what I really like. We got it from Safeway, y'all.
You mean your fruitcake that look like a log that you can crack some upside the head with?
Fuck that. I mean, they didn't make that. That's store bought. I just don't eat fruitcake. Nobody eats fruitcake.
I've never had a good
fruitcake. With icing on top of it. Look at it.
Right. They put icing on it.
Cream
it looks
cheese
like an olive
cake?
Loaf that you, one of those meats that have olives all in them that nobody eats.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, wait.
They packaged it for me.
Right. Okay.
So that's really my favorite.
Yeah, so that's what you want to do.
But my family's all freaking out because you need to make something. Everybody's making something.
Yeah.
So they all got together and they sent me this recipe and I'm going to make you guys try it. So this is artichoke.
Make you guys try it.
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to make you guys try it.
You know that shit's terrible.
Listen, what did I tell you motherfuckers about the potluck? It's not that everybody can't cook. It's not that. You got some people at your, that you be comfortable eating out of it. The problem is the personal attachment for the motherfuckers that can't cook.
Right.
If they wouldn't try to guilt trip you, then it will be fine. If I could just look at your shit and be like, what's this? Oh, it's artichoke dip. It's not supposed to look like that. Oh, no, you can stop talking. I'm not going to get none. It would be cool, but instead they do the fucking puppy dog eyes, or they're like, you really not gonna get none? It's really good. You just gotta give it a try. And you just wanna get along with your coworkers, cause that's the same motherfucker that's responsible for the TPS reports.
Right.
So you fucking, oh yeah, I'll try a little bit, and then you're in the fucking toilet at 4 o'clock praying that you can fucking make it home without shitting your pants, dog. Fuck that.
Not the toilet on your floor. You gotta go to the toilet like 2 floors up or two floors down.
One of those.
Privacy?
Right. It's one of those. Like, you gotta bring your phone. You gonna be in there for a while. Fuck that shit, man. You know, or the worst, when it don't hit you till 5:10. So you on the freeway, like, come on, Lord Jesus, please, Lord, just little baby Jesus, please. Just, if you can make this.
See all the brake lights in front of you.
Yeah.
Right. But like, I don't want to go to the public bathroom. Come on. Right. Let me make it home.
85 car pile up. I know
wreck happened right in front of you.
Fuck that shit. And we watching it live on the air, and look at Buddy all the way on the left, man. His face looked like
from
don't
the beginning.
Yeah,
from the beginning,
he's the only one who understands what's about to happen. Right.
He side-eyed it. He been side-eyeing that shit since she pulled it out.
Right. Oh my god.
Okay, so you think that that's okay, right? Is that too much for you, George?
He looked at the camera. Yo, he looked at the camera the way black people look at each other at the potluck. Like, you see this shit? You know what I'm saying? Raisins, really, nigga?
You know, he looking at the camera crew like, y'all motherfuckers ain't got to try this shit.
I've been doing this for me.
Right? He hit that. Yo, nigga, it is marshmallows and the fucking sweet potatoes. You saw this?
It's raisins in this bitch. Why is there carrots in the sweet potato pie?
Did you see this, nigga? Did you see this?
Who did this?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm going to try some. Mm-mm.
Why me? I can't do this.
How does it smell?
Yo, they fell. Some of it fell on the floor, and he literally jumped back.
It already ain't supposed
to. Who said that?
Who said what?
How does it smell?
Oh, the woman who made it. How does it smell?
Bitch, you know that shit stank.
Pine fresh. It smell like musk.
How does it smell, Scott? It's like vinegar or something.
So I thought it smelled like a barn.
You ain't got no business eating no shit that smells like a barn.
That's the most polite way of saying your stuff smells like animal feces.
Oh, yeah, you can't even eat good food. You can't even eat good food while in a barn because the smell taints.
Right. A barn smells like hay and shit. What are you talking about? How can y'all eat? All because it's your coworker.
It smells like shit. That's what he's telling me. It smells like shit.
All because it's your coworker. You can't just say, you know what? Not even for the news, baby. I can't do it.
Right, because everybody take that shit so fucking personal.
Right, this is how they get you, see? It's probably a black person that work on this station that walked right out.
Come on.
you can do it with some finesse. You can say, hey, I'm allergic to artichokes or whatever's in there.
I'm allergic to that.
Yeah, whatever's in there. Name the ingredients, I'm allergic to all that shit.
Hey, look, quiet is kept. It's a black woman that took this day off. Like three weeks ago.
She was like, oh, y'all having a potluck?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that week, the potluck week? Oh, that's when me and my family normally go to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. But like, I would do it. Which week is it? Well, we're going to do it on the sixth. Oh, yeah. I knew it was going to be the sixth. That's the week we go. The 16th. You said 16th. Yes, the sixth. What was I thinking? 16th is when we don't be here. So we definitely will not. Don't even call.
We will not be participating.
She's sitting in her house coat right now watching them niggas on the news like, look at this. They about to eat it. They about to eat it. Come here, baby. Look at this. They about to eat it.
Take me off the email list chain because I won't be needing to see it.
Right.
Rude, you just gotta be able to say, nah, I'm good.
Bro, once I realized I didn't give a fuck what my coworkers thought about me, I've dipped on so many potlucks, dog. Like, I've straight up walked out the door. I came back with some food later. Like, like, oh, what you got over there? I smell some McDonald's. You know we had a potluck. Oh, I know.
Listen, if you can bring liquor to the potluck, I'll stay. I've been to those type of potlucks. I'll stay.
Right.
But if there ain't no liquor, there's not really any reason for me to be here.
Right.
If it's my cookie or cake, got some cake?
If it's my family, I'm good. Like, my family's done potluck, you know, things before.
You know,
we doing one this weekend. That's right. Different. But, you know,
different.
None of my family got dogs that sit on the counter and shit either, though. You know what I mean? Come on. Like, everybody, you know, different.
Right.
And well, just the inclusion of the word luck tells you that there might be some bad luck.
Right. Right.
And the word pot mean you might be sitting on a pot. That pot you call a toilet.
Right. And also, the reason it works with a family is because you can tell your family to their face that they fuck something up.
We sure do. Yeah.
You can't do that with a coworker. But Mike, listen. And black women are the MVPs of this shit. Black women will question your ass like it's an interrogation right in front of everybody. Like, they won't even pull you to the side. They'll just be like, "Now, why did you put the meat? What kind of meatballs are these? Are this, turkey meatballs? Okay, and how long did you cook them and what temperature?" Like, they'll go all the way through and be like, that ain't done.
Because that shit matters. Because, and after that was really, really good. They'd be like, "Who made this?"
Yeah.
And my family would be like, "You know you ain't got no business to make this. Last time we had dinner at your house, you fucked up the macaroni and cheese, bitch. I told your ass don't bring this here no more. One of my mama's sisters can't cook, and she always wanted to have the function of her house. And my mom and them always tell her no. But then when they had a function, then the function's at her house, they be like, "Look, you just do the ice and the silverware. We'll bring the food."
Right. Because there's no ego to it, man. It's like, we want to eat good food.
Right.
And it's much easier to let people do the cooking than for us to be like, "You the motherfucker that fucked up Thanksgiving." Like, it's much, like, that never goes away. That time you be on your deathbed, people be like, "Lord bless Doris. Remember when she fucked up Thanksgiving in 86, though? Burn that whole turkey. Oh, that turkey was terrible." You be dying. Like, "Oh, that turkey was terrible. It was dead as she is right now."
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, man. So, that whoever the black people at this set is, I know that black woman probably, I'm on a holiday diet. I gotta take some time off. You know, I'm doing my Christmas shopping that day. Actually, I gotta go do, cause, ain't no black people on set right now.
No,
work out. I'm telling you right now, this did not work out. So.
That's all back.
Savage. That dude is a savage. I love this dude.
When she said this does not work out, his face blew up like, "Bitch, but you bought it anyway."
Yo, his face was everything, dog. He even did the, like, when you puff your cheeks up, like when you about to do that last shot that you know is the one that means you can't drive home. He did it like
he's trying to, with his eyes, tell the director to cut to a different camera.
I think he's even kind of pointing.
Trying to do.
I think he's even pointing like camera three. Camera three. Yeah,
camera two.
Is it edible?
Mm-mm.
It's not that bad, but the vinegar.
But there's no vinegar in there. So
That
means some shit soured, baby. What are we talking about?
What tastes like vinegar with no vinegar
what
in it?
What smells like vinegar with no vinegar
in it? What is that? What is
anything
that?
Rotten. Shit turns sour. And
right, so I was like, you smacked some shit together that you should have thrown out the
and
house.
She baby. Is, she made this poison. She didn't eat any. And she's smiling in their face like we're in on it together. No, the fuck we aren't. You are the enemy.
And it's not even a holiday food.
Right. She's like, you know what? My character made this artichoke. Sometimes she's clueless.
My clueless cook character.
Yeah. Everybody, meet Sherry. Sherry made this. Damn, he had to spit it out into the rack.
Okay, so, like, it's got...
I'm not trying to be rude here.
It's okay. I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Totally agree with you? Why did you give it to him? You shady motherfucker.
Yeah, she knew that shit went no good.
Something went terribly wrong. Okay, so first of all...
How are you doing that?
The vinegar burns.
Yeah, there's no vinegar.
There's no vinegar. Do you think something is off? Like, do you think maybe the artichokes are off?
Do.
Well, okay, I didn't have a lemon.
Artichokes are off.
The smartest dude is the one with the prey hands right now, because I peeped game. He literally took his cracker from her and sat it down on the table.
He didn't even attempt to eat it.
He let that other dude take a bite and that woman take a bite, and he put his shit motherfucking on that table like, mm-mm.
You won't get me.
Nice try. And you know what he gonna say about 5 p.m. when they getting off work? Sharon, your artichoke dip wasn't as bad as people said. Didn't take a motherfucking bite. I've seen black women do that before. He learned from somebody. I've seen that move.
So I just cut up an orange and put that in there. And then I didn't know.
An orange?
Artichoke dip?
Just did that.
An artichoke dip.
They should fire her.
I didn't know it was citrus and artichoke dip.
They should, HR should have a meeting and fire her.
I mean, baby, you know you can Google this, right? Artichoke dip, and just get the basic plain ass artichoke dip.
Is that dude allowed to walk over and like slap her in the face now? Right. Just slapped her.
She tried to poison me. I'm going to HR on your ass.
Like slap her with a glove, like a duel to the death. Like, meet me outside. Pistols at 10 paces. You tried to kill us.
Put in, so I put celery salt and oregano in.
No, she didn't.
Celery salt, oranges, and oregano. And artichoke dip.
She didn't know what the fuck she was doing.
I think she just made choke dip. You take a bite of this shit, you choke to death.
Where the little bits of chemistry playing, Leslie, things didn't combine properly.
So, how are you enjoying it, Amber? It burns.
It burns!
It burns! Last time I checked, artichoke dip does not burn.
She was hoping she wouldn't ask to, because she wanted to just be like, I tried it, Leslie. It just, you know, I tried it. Nope.
But why are they laughing?
Because they don't
want to choke the shit out of her.
You know how they laughing? Because they on TV.
Right.
Yep.
Did she have it in private? Ooh.
She got cussed out.
Burn on the way out, too.
That first dude would have been like, are you out of your motherfucking mind?
I'm not eating this.
You let me eat that? Oranges? What else was in this? Celery salt?
And you thought it was
a lot of horse shit.
Oregano? I'm good.
Mostly horse shit. Right. Orange peel. A little zest.
What is wrong with you? Are you a crazy person? Oh.
There's water in here.
It feels like there's vinegar. But there's no vinegar, so I don't get it.
Burns.
I don't get it. It's such a big failure.
So the recipe's on the head to globalnews.ca/Calgary.
Who wants the recipe for this?
I don't.
I guarantee that website got zero hits.
What's that? I can give up the recipe.
Check out the recipe on horseshit.com.
Oh,
that shit got zero hits. Karen, I'll put you back on screen. Actually, I need to switch to next session too.
Oh, that was terrible. What was wrong with that woman?
I don't know, man. Listen, do not let your loved ones go out the house with a dish of that bullshit to work. They will get fired. That would be awesome if they wrote her up for that. You know what I mean?
Report her ass to HR.
We had some complaints. All right. So the way Crowdcast works, I have to go to the next session. I'm gonna invite everybody back on screen, and then we'll be right back because there's a little bit of a limitation here. So give me 1 second, guys. Everybody will be right back. It should take less than a minute.
I'm gonna try to switch cameras and see what happens.
Cool.
All right.
Okay, I'm just clicking the next session, can't I?
Yeah, you should be able to. Okay. I'm gonna invite the crowd over.
Okay, and try and drag them over.
Yeah.
I'm not on camera, so I'm just gonna move.
Yeah, and that woman was out of her mind and was smiling in their face. Like,
some
it was
bullshit. She knew something was wrong with that bullshit. Artichoke dip ain't never looked like a fucking macaroni and cheese or a potato salad. What the fuck?
Yeah, the audacity to smile in everybody's face, like,
and she knew it was bad
and was telling them to describe it. Man, that's like some kind of a sickness or something, dog.
Yeah,
ain't nothing good about that.
No.
All right, I see Andy And I know Randolph said he's gonna try to change cameras. I'm gonna invite him on. Right. We should be starting momentarily. Yeah, Andy's back on, Karen's back, so just waiting on Randolph. But yeah, man, that woman's insane, man. That's like some shit the Joker would do. Feed you some shit like that and laugh at you.
Yeah, it's like a manners thing. You're supposed to just take food that's handed to you and just eat it.
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing wrong with you for being like, no.
Yeah, when you know your coworker's feelings are attached to it, that you eat out of guilt almost, because you've all seen, like, a fucking potato salad that's purple or something, and you're like, I don't want it to eat this, but I do like Jenna, you know what I mean? So I'll take a bite, and then later on, you're like, who the fuck was cheese and potato salad, you know?
Can you take a fake phone call on the air? That's what I would do. I would pretend I had a call. Just turn away from the conversation.
Huh? Just walk off screen. All right.
I got you guys back?
Yeah, everybody's back. There's a petition. You sound fine.
Okay.
There's a petition launched to kick R. Kelly off of a festival bill because of his past sex abuse claims.
I support that.
Yeah. Fans have launched a petition in protest to R. Kelly headlining a festival, calling for organizers to kick his rapist ass from the bill. Orange County's rapist. Rapist, sorry. Did I say rapist?
Okay.
Yeah, it's a rapist. Kick his rapist ass off the bill. He is due to headline Orange County's Soul Aquarius Music Festival 2017. But now past unproven allegations have led fans... Unproven? Here we go with the bullshit. Who wrote this? What site is this? NME.com? I don't know who y'all are. I'm gonna have to look up. Y'all niggas might be biased.
British music.
What'd you say, Andy?
That's a music magazine, NME.
Okay, alright. Unproven. So apparently there's been a petition. Let's send a message that music is not separate, abuse of girls and it's never okay. No, you are how many timely ballots you contributed to the world. It's pretty complimentary. like even it isn't like it was some jams. It was jams, okay? Which maybe I have raped kids. No, really. Basically said get him out of there. Of course, you know, we all know the myriad allegations. There was a tape. He found not guilty of 14 counts letter him, but all because she wouldn't testify and the family was paid off and like a lot. It was a lot of shit to it. And then the way the tapes were found, it was like inadmissible in the court. Like it was a lot of shit. It wasn't as simple as like, he just couldn't prove them. so anyway, man, they got a petition for that. We'll see. I'll tell you what.
I wouldn't have gone to the concert anyway if R. Kelly was headlining it.
That's what I was going to say. there's a lot of acts on the ballot, you know what I mean, apparently. And I think that's how people are trying to justify, like, yeah, but I do want to see Erykah Badu, so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. But my thing is, speak with your money, too. Just don't go.
Come on.
You know what I mean? I don't mind signing the petition, but then also don't go to the shit.
Yeah.
So that's the only way they're going to learn.
Yeah, I mean, It's not going. You don't need a petition. It's not going. Right. I'll sign a petition. Don't get me wrong. I'll sign a petition because I support that cause. But R. Kelly hasn't got a dime out of my pocket since the whole shit went down. That's just the way I look at it. It's easier for me just to not give him any money. Don't go.
Exactly.
I'll sign a petition though, but don't go. And if you're one of these other artists and you see the petition is circulating out there, let's say you're Erykah Badu, you have enough clout where you can say, listen, I don't want him on the show, or I won't be on the show. I'll walk away. Right. You can say that unless you don't care, you know, but if there's a petition floating around, that means people ain't going to come, which means you're going to now cut into my bottom line if I'm on the show with you. So I just don't be on the show with you. The other artists could do that if they wanted to. It's do they want to?
Mm-hmm.
I would.
That's, I would. Yeah, it's really, and that's the thing about this. A lot of times there's never a rejection from the peers of these people. So that's how shit keeps going. Like, as long as your peer group is like, we cool with it, you know, like, I don't want to say anything, then you'll be fine. You know, it's kind of like, for not this is the best example, but like, I doubt Bill Cosby could just get a show now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's still comedians that will work with him, but just in general, the stigma of that his peer group of people that make power moves at networks are like, nope. You know what I mean? Radioactive. We're not fucking with you. But that's never happened to R. Kelly. Yeah. R. Kelly, there's always been people that are like, I can still make a buck with him, then I'm still gonna fuck with him.
Yeah, you gotta. There's just lines that people, you gotta sit the line down, and I'm not going over that line. I understand when they first book, let's say they first book the show, and you don't know who's on the show, but then when you find out who's on the show, okay, now you say, well, listen, I'm not gonna be on a show with him. Now, you ain't putting my name associated with me with him. No way. Right. No. And I don't want my fans coming to see me, and I don't want my fans spending money on him because he's gonna get a cut of the money from my fans. No. That's not gonna happen.
And I think Badu is one of those people that's like, I think Badu is one of those people that is like Team R. Kelly. Like, she's, you know, she had some comments earlier this year about like girls wearing short skirts and shit. She's also at the Soul Train Awards. I believe they gave him like a Lifetime Achievement Award, and she's the one that presented it and said all these glowing things about him. So, you know, sometimes these woke, Jill Scott saying, like, sometimes like a woke black woman will be like, on some, well, you know, they just trying to take a black man down. You're like, this nigga a serial rapist.
Right.
He should probably go down. Like, some black men need to go down sometimes, and he won. You know, it's not like they just randomly got a nigga. Like, he was on tape. So, anyway, let's go to our games, guys. Play some fucking with black people, okay?
Real loud for a second. Somebody's at the door.
That's people went to the wrong apartment at Randolph's house.
Oh.
All right, let's sing the song, Karen. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe. We find different articles that we feel fucked with by as black people, and we score them from 0 to 100 intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Let's start with some people that are near and dear to our hearts. Christians. Apparently, Christian leaders are up in arms right now. Over the casting of black actress Octavia Spencer as God in an upcoming film called The Shack. So, apparently,
like a comedy or?
I mean, could it be anything, but if a black woman's gonna be God, I mean, it must be a joke. It must be a joke. I don't know.
I'm reading about this. It's serious business.
Okay. Well, apparently, Joel Schimmel, the pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, told Christian News Network that the pretentious caricature of God as a fat black woman is dangerous and false.
How does he know?
I guess he's seen God before. And that motherfucker is ripped, okay? Stay in the gyms, baby. Stay on the weights. Young pretend,
what matter is that he's white.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, he could be fucking John Goodman for all they care. Young's pretentious caricature of God is a heavyset, cushy, non-judgmental African-American woman called Papa, who resembles the new agent Oprah Winfrey far more than the one true God revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 1:1-3, and his depiction of the Holy Spirit as a frail Asian woman with the Hindu name Sarayu lends itself to a dangerous and false image of God and idolatry. So I don't know, what one true God looks like.
If you're a pastor, you know, you're going to run out of shit to say on Sundays from time to time. So you just gotta stay mad as shit. Like, you know, you gotta develop new material. He's just trying out some new shit. That's all he's doing.
He must not have any black people in this church to ride that out on Sunday.
Yeah. No, definitely not.
No.
Well, he just gonna be in there on Sunday railing against all the new movies. And have you seen this Rogue One? A white girl saves the universe twice now? Come on, Disney. We all know
and
that.
And Darth Vader ain't nothing but the devil.
Right. Darth Vader, the one true white man inside of that black outfit with the black voice. God, man. So fucking. I guess Christians ran out of shit since Trump won. It's just like, we win it. We never won like this before.
No, they're ramping up.
Right. that's what. They taking it to the next level.
Very next level.
They taking it to the next level. They're like, look, we got the right to stop these women from getting abortions. Now it's time to get Black Hollywood out of here.
I just like the fact that these people are now presenting things for me to have to do. Now I have chores behind this. Now I got to go see this movie. And I wasn't even thinking about seeing this movie. Now I'm like, well, now I guess I got to support it. I don't have any choice now.
I got to see black, heavyset black woman Jesus. God, I mean, I got to see it. Didn't even know I wanted to see this until white people got mad. Now I want to see it.
Well,
ain't that some shit? I'm just as much a victim of racism as anybody else.
Right?
it's fucked up, but it's true. As a matter of fact, you know what's fucked up? I didn't want to see Birth of a Nation that bad until it was like, white people being pretty upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, well, they definitely... Yeah, nigga turned out to be a rapist. Yeah, nigga wouldn't have raped nobody, I would have went to see it. It was really that simple. I was just going to be in the theater looking at white folks like, got my $10. at any rate, there's another dude named DeYoung. What is his first name? James DeYoung is a critic of The Shack. He's a Christian author. He chimed in with his opinions, stating that the film's faithfulness to the book message and casting could far outweigh the damage that the book has done. If the film is a faithful portrayal of the events and the theology of the book, that every Christian should be gravely alarmed at the further advance of beliefs that smear the evangelical understanding of the truth of the Bible. Damn, they scared of this movie. I'm gonna see it. So 0 to 100, Karen.
I guess I gotta see this movie.
Yeah. I hadn't even heard of this till today.
Right.
Well, Karen, what's 0 to 100?
I said 100, you hear me?
Oh, I didn't hear you. Randolph, what about you?
Yeah, I gotta say 100. That's
100. All right. What about you, Andy?
I'm going 75. Okay. I think.
Thinking 75, but
it's so ridiculous. I think he's kind of reaching more than he's fucking with. So there's a little bit of that reach that drops it down to 75.
Okay. And I'm gonna go with 50.
Just the fact that I can hear him coming down on fat black in my mind when I hear him say, this fat black woman that makes me. Push over to 100.
Yeah, I'm going
to say that.
Yeah.
Black woman, I feel like that's 75, but fat black woman, that's 100.
Yeah, I'm going with 50 because out of this, I got a recommendation for a movie that I now really want to see. You know what I mean? So it's like, I discovered it in a fucked up way, but I'm less fucked with because I feel like the solution is also within the anger, which is go support this film. Just to make this white angry Christian dude upset, you know? So I'll be going to see it. I have no idea what it's about. A grieving man receives a mysterious personal invitation to meet with God at a place called The Shack. It's directed by Stuart Hazeldine, who I've never heard of. Let me see. Who is a white dude. So he might not be that pro black.
God would have to send you an invitation. I think God would just put you there. I feel like talking to you. Come here and just put you there.
I don't know. Ever
Maybe
since
that's what black women do it. I don't know. But they send invitations.
They do. They do invite people.
What is a shack? Is a shack like a jazz club or something? Are they going all out with this?
I don't know. I don't know. The shack looked like a house. It looked like a cabin or some shit. It looked kind of nice. Yeah, but ever since Will Smith started writing letters to shit in that new trailer, I feel like God could be anything, man.
Like, yeah, I won't be seeing that one. That's the one I won't be seeing.
I'm gonna go see it because I just be rooting for Will Smith so hard, man. I don't know what's wrong with him.
He's making shit movies.
He gotta stop, man. He can't help himself. And then the worst part is that the movies don't do well. And then all the pieces get written about how bad his movies are too. So it's like, it just keep adding up. But I'm gonna keep supporting him, man. And when he finally comes back, remember, I never left the bandwagon, Will. When we come back, when we make it, remember, Rod was here watching all them bullshit movies.
Also, sometimes,
he just keeps making shit movies.
I think he just needs to get away from his kids for 3 months every now and then.
Well, see,
I
would be okay with that, but he ain't making them kind of movies. Like, he making these like passion project ass movies where it's like he believed in this script, and I'm just like, yeah. Will, man, how did you not see that script was a loser, man? You can't play no fucking doctor from Africa, man. You a fucking 6'6", handsome as shit.
Philly, yeah. Light skinned brother from Philly. What's African? What?
Did y'all see that Concussion movie? Did y'all see it?
No.
I can't bring myself to watch it. I don't want to watch him slip in and out of his accent.
Look, man, it's not even that part. Like, he really commits to the role. It's just optically, your mind will not embrace the idea that a room full of white dudes won't listen to Will Smith. Like, every scene, I'm just like, if Will Smith walked in a room and said, people getting concussions, everyone in the room would be like, tell me more. What exactly is happening? But in the movie, everybody's like, shut the fuck up. Go back to Africa then. It's like, nobody would say that to Will Smith.
No, they would.
You know what I mean? He crying and shit about these concussions. Nigga, you would never have to cry about no concussions, man. Get the fuck out of here. He ain't know how to come on to Gugu Mbatha-Raw. Nigga, please. She fine as fuck. Come on, man.
Here's how Will Smith comes on to somebody. Hey, I'm Will Smith. How you doing?
Yes. Every movie that they try to do, like, Will Smith's awkward around women, I'm like, if you don't get the fuck out of my face.
We don't believe you.
This is an insult to everybody in the theater, man.
Right.
Oh, Will Smith don't know how to talk to women. Fuck out of here. Will Smith could be out here sexually harassing women and people would let it be okay.
Yeah.
He just walked in and pulled his dick out, girl. Oh, so you called the cops? No, I gave him my number. He is fine. I could change him. Let's see. How about this one, guys? Here's what happened when Top Chef decided to film an episode on a damn plantation.
Top Chef.
Oh no!
I know exactly what Top Chef is.
Oh no!
How did this go?
Why would you do this? What the fuck? Yeah, apparently Top Chef decided to they go around different locations and they try to go to a plantation, and of course black Twitter was aware of it, which means Bossip was aware of it, so they took screenshots of everybody's responses.
Did anyone cook freedom fries?
We're gonna make some Juneteenth juice.
Runaway slave slaw.
Damn, yo, and the black man lost. Black man, Coretta Scott Key says, black man lost at the plantation, hashtag Top Chef. We can't win at the Top Chef. If it's at a plantation, we better win.
Come on.
He should have had immunity that week.
Yeah.
Give immunity on that show.
You mean to tell me the slavery chicken he made didn't win?
Bruh, hashtag Top Chef had a black man cook on a slave plantation and send him home. That's that bullshit. At Bravo TV, y'all trash for that. And it's with a picture of somebody looking at a laptop that says trash.
Did he make crab-alition cakes?
Right. Oh, that's a good one.
underneath our girl underscore Miss Holiday says they sent the black man Gerald home after making him cook on a plantation, shaking my head. So I like that. According to these tweets, if he would have won, it would have been okay. Everybody's like, he lost? You gotta at least give him the win. That's the minimum. See, Top Chef tried to confront slave history, but bad atmospherics for bio truffles. Oh, for build your own truffles. Chef to win plantation challenge, sending black chef home. That person must have like some type of degree. Bringing the black.
What are they gonna do next week? You gonna go to a concentration camp with a Jewish chef?
Come on.
This week we're going to Auschwitz.
Yeah. Make it.
You're up, baby.
It's time for some gefilte fish. This is terrible. You are out.
Yes, it is.
Go home.
But you can't use the ovens.
Right. Yeah, of course not.
Right.
Good grief. That's pretty bad, man. They don't even have a clip. It's just all tweets.
2 weeks. Here's what we're not going to do. You don't get to use potatoes.
Right. Oh,
who's
man.
Writing this show?
Right. Well, tune in next week when we go to the reservation. Oh, when they entered the plantation, I said, oh crap, why at Bravo TV? Slave plantation, really? What was the object of this location? Shaking my head. Damn, Top Chef, you pissed some people off, man. At any rate, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, that's a 100.
100 for Karen.
Because the black dude got kicked off.
All right, Randolph.
That's definitely 100. Let me tell you something. When they were planning in the office, they were giggling about it. We're going to a plantation and we got a black guy. That's 100.
What about you, Andy?
That's the perfect stuff. Definitely a 100.
Yeah, that's really good. Sending them home was what got them to 100. I can't even front. It wouldn't have been okay if he would have won either, but still, sending him home was definitely the wrong move.
Yeah.
Colorado doctor who called Michelle Obama monkey face has resigned from her hospital job. Yeah, apparently a Colorado doctor came under fire for calling First Lady Michelle Obama a monkey face who speaks poor Ebonic English. She has resigned from her job as a pediatric anesthesiologist. Oh, she puts kids to sleep. Lovely. Lovely. Dr. Michelle Herron stepped down from her position at Denver Health Medical Center after her racist comments on Facebook kicked off a firestorm of controversy. Why do these people think they can do that? Oh, wait.
It's Trump won.
Yeah, my bad.
Trump's been allowed
America.
To do it for years. That's why.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot. It's my fault, y'all. That's a bad question. This is the second post. This is the second post she has lost since the remarks became public. Earlier this week, she was fired from her teaching position at the University of Colorado Denver School of Medicine. She was responding to a Facebook post about Michelle Obama's eloquence as a public speaker and the pedigree of the First Lady's Princeton and Harvard education when Herron wrote, "Doesn't seem to be speaking too eloquently here. Thank God we can't hear her." She then added, "Harvard, that's a place for entitled folks," said all the liberals.
Tell us about jealous of them degrees.
Yeah, here's another thing, dog. I do this a lot on Facebook. You wouldn't notice it because it's me not doing something, but I see people shit that I don't agree with and just keep scrolling.
Facebook, Instagram, everything.
Yeah, I don't know if people understand. It's a lot of shit on Facebook where you can just hit that unfriend, unfollow, mute. Block, show me less of this. Like, I pick and choose my spots to talk to people about shit.
Yes, sir.
With a lot of caution, where I'm just like, okay, yeah. I gotta talk to this person about this. But in general,
filters are your friends. Use all the options, people.
It's people that still don't know I unfriended their ass. I seen like one crazy thing on their page and was like, not in my circle. I love my liberal bubble. Fuck that. Fuck what you heard. We'll lose all the elections if it's up to me. I'm not talking to y'all motherfuckers.
Have a debate or discussion. Nope.
Right. Wish you would come on my page. First of all, to even say that part, I'd automatically be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But then later she put, Monkey face and poor Ebonic English, 3 exclamation points. There, I feel better. I am still not racist. Just calling it like it is.
You are racist. Here's the thing. Just as a teacher, if you're running around saying that Michelle Obama doesn't speak well, you shouldn't be teaching youth.
Mm-hmm.
You just showed me you don't have any knowledge in your head, so you don't get to be a teacher no more, period. What made her speak badly? Was it coming out of her black-skinned face? I guess that's the only thing that makes the words bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or the dialect bad that she's speaking. Highly intelligent Michelle Obama speaking. So even when you do speak well, you still don't speak well.
Mm-hmm. You know, if she, like, when they ended the, Oprah and Michelle talk the other day on TV,
mm-hmm.
and she made a joke, like, well, she was like, Bob, my grandma's not coming back to the White House. She's going to Chicago. And she was like, she's like, bye, Felicia. And her and Oprah had that black woman moment where they're like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can see some person that hates her being like, she can't even speak right. Bye, Felicia. What kind of Ebonics? And it's like, okay. So we just gonna demean this woman's entire existence because you hate her so much. You just waiting for her to say something to piss you off. They have struck a nerve, but her specifically just being like out pretty much black royalty in this country for 8 years. Has pissed off a segment of people that are just so, like, that is just, they're deplorable people. They're just deplorable people. There's no other way around it. Like, she doesn't do anything.
Hillary Clinton called them right when she said deplorable. She was right.
Right.
What Hillary Clinton did wrong, in my opinion, was she should have stood behind that when people started saying, well, they're not deplorable. She should have said, yeah, they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure. Yeah, I said it. By the way, Michelle said she not running. So y'all can stop asking her to bail out the country.
It don't matter. They still bring it up.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If she was running, that's one of the reasons why. Because she would be like, no, I said that was deplorable.
Oh, yeah, she wouldn't have been. her facial expressions and the way she talks and stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it was the world not ready for no Michelle Obama presidency anyway. And I'm not ready to put these hands on y'all for talking about Michelle Obama because it's going to happen. Like, I could tolerate the Barack slander to a certain extent where I'm like, ah, it happens. Y'all niggas talk about Michelle, someone getting punched in their face. Be like that dude outside the Cheesecake Factory. I don't know.
Ah!
I don't know if y'all saw that video. He called that dude a nigger.
I saw that video.
That woman said, you shouldn't have said that.
What happened?
He was challenging some random black dude to a fight. And the black dude didn't want to fight him. He was just like, man, go inside, shut up, leave me alone with that bullshit. And he turned around to go inside, but he had to hit him with that one more. And he said something like, something, nigger. And Buddy walked over there and hit him with a motherfucking 17 hit combo and knocked his hat off. His hat didn't want none of that ass whooping. His hat was like, I'm out! And just jumped. Make America great by yourself! And then just left.
Hadouken!
Yeah. He caught that E Honda. He was taking them blows. And then.
Finish him.
Then when he got knocked out, or knocked on the ground, the woman who was filming it, you could tell she was a sister, she was just like, you shouldn't have said that.
Right. Like they said, don't let President Trump get your ass whooped out here fucking with people thinking, calling somebody a nigga on the internet and calling somebody a nigga in real life ain't the same. In real life, people will put their motherfucking hands on you.
He tried to take that grade A egg game offline.
Right. He fucking around and scramble your egg.
It wasn't so much that he was landing the blows on him. It was just that he was so precise.
So precise. It was like
precision, just bang, bang. It was like he was lying, bang, bang, bang.
And it was right after the dude talked about being in the Marines and shit, man. Dude took that L, man. Just like, it was so good.
Right.
It was so good. I don't even like, I abhor violent viral videos for the most part. I ain't gonna front. I saw that one. I was like, no power to you, brother.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, ooh, this is good. This is good.
Yeah. I tried not to watch it. And I was just like, let me see what happened. Oh, God. Look at his hat. At any rate, man, this woman did get lose her two positions. So Karen, 0 to 100.
Oh, 0.
0. Now she did resign from one of the positions. Does that change
it? 0. Your paycheck stopped.
All right, there you go. Randolph.
Well, it's 0 right now because, as Karen said, the paycheck stopped. But it's going to jump up to 100 when she gets hired at another place in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, she will.
Yeah, I feel you. Andy?
I'm going to go 50 just for the, but I'm not racist, because that's like the biggest play in the fucking with black people playbook.
Yeah, it is.
Is the denying your racism after having literally just expressed it.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing is white people trying to do the barometer of what's racist. Cause nothing's racist when a white person is doing it, apparently. You know? It's like you read, just people, you gotta read some of these firsthand accounts from like slave owners and shit. Like you read some of their words and you're just like, yo, this person went to their grave thinking I'm a good person.
Yep.
Like they died and they were like, why did these slaves want to be free so bad?
Why did they turn on me?
Didn't we feed them? Didn't we clothe them? I mean, I let them see their families on Sundays. I don't understand what they want from me. Like, it's insane when you read it. It's just to think that world is not even that old.
No,
to think about at the turn of the century, that shit was still going on in some places, you know, like to think about Jim Crow and segregation, the mentality, like there were people who were like, I'm not racist. I just don't want black people drinking out my water fountain or going to my school or riding the same bus or eating at my counter, but I'm not racist. And I wish you would stop calling me that. Like that is a thing that happened. And it's always going to be like that. So when you see people say like, I just think she's an ebonic speaking monkey face, you're like, that's racist. And don't even go there. Don't even call me racist. Cause that's when you're tripping. That's when you're wrong. Okay. Anyway.
It's like if you ever talk to a drug addict and you're trying to get them to understand they have a problem. There's always someone who's a worse addict.
Always.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm not the problem. Look at that dude over there. Like he's worse.
Now that dude's on drugs. Right.
Right. That guy's racist. Like there's always a worse slave owner.
Yeah. He beat his slaves hard. I beat my slaves pretty light.
Ah!
All right, guys. Let's try to have a palate cleanser here, guys. I don't know if y'all were on the show last time. I don't think we had this segment. Mm-hmm. But this is a new segment we like to call White People News. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna detoxify with some White People News. Let me play a White People song for everybody.
All through the year we waited through spring and fall, to hear silver bells ringing, see winter time bringing, the happiest season of all. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
So elevator music.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season Tiny little tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight.
That's right.
Yeah, that is some food court music. Yeah, yeah, that's what everybody playing at the mall right now.
That is some white people Christmas music. It's not like ours.
Mm-mm, that is not like ours.
I should have like, yeah. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. Like, our shit is
Santa Claus is coming to town. Right. Oh, yeah. That's how Christmas music.
Right. Hey, I should be jamming. Woo. Oh, man. But, hey, you know what? This is white people news.
Yeah.
So I feel like someone should be handing me, like, meat on a toothpick right now.
Yeah.
Oh, with cheese. Yes.
Let's see.
The bourbon chicken spot will hand you the sample as you get in line. You're like, I'm already here. I'm ordering your food.
Yeah. I came here to buy more of this.
Right.
There's a Brady Bunch star who has responded to claims that she's homophobic.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Don't get
why. Did she finally give a response? Okay.
Susan Olsen finds it hilarious she's been labeled as anti-gay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. We heard what you said. Yeah.
That's Cindy, right?
Yep. Plays Cindy Brady, and she fired off at the old dogs and new tricks actor Leon Accord on Facebook on December 7th after Accord accused her of spreading outrageous misinformation on the Two Chicks Talking Politics LA talk radio show that she co-hosted. In one Facebook post, Olsen 55 slammed Accord as a little piece of human waste. Later that day, Accord shared a screenshot of a private Facebook message that appeared to show Olsen going off on a tirade, labeling him a pussy and the biggest faggot ass in the world.
Oh.
By December 9th, the LA Talk Radio announced on Facebook they had severed their ties with the host because of hateful speech, though it did not reference Olsen by name.
Family road trip.
Oh, wait.
Fun.
What is this doing? Don't play that. So yeah, like she lost her job on it. On December 15th, she spoke out about the exchange on Facebook, arguing that reports she'd been fired from her radio gig misleading. And by the way, how does one get fired from a job they were never paid to do? I don't know that that's a point in your favor, but okay. Just 2 minutes later, she claimed the controversy stemmed from her being an outspoken supporter of President-elect Donald Trump. Oh, the real discrimination. Mm-hmm. This is only about me supporting Trump, and I still do. The next day, she addressed the words she allegedly exchanged with Accord directly, noting that she found it hilarious that I'm being called a homophobe in yet another Facebook post. Somehow the actual apology that I made days ago did not get posted. I'm very sorry for ever hurting the LGBT community that I love so much. For that, I'm sorry and frankly find it hilarious that I'm being called a homophobe. What could be more ridiculous?
Stop right there. Did she say that she loves the LGBT community so much?
Yep.
But she voted for Donald Trump, whose vice president person that he picked pretty much hates the LGBT community.
Well, but Pence would argue that he loves them. Pence would say that he loves the gay community so much that he wants them to not be gay so they can join him in heaven later.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to take away all the drug programs so that maybe HIV and AIDS can come back. You know, help these people out. I think the real LGBT community knows that I have and always will support them. I love you. Just minutes after that, she said she'd be taking a break from social media in the wake of the controversy. Please know that I love you all, but I need to take a break from social media. Yeah, it's social media's fault. Motherfuckers love that, don't they? Oh, if it wasn't for Facebook, motherfucker, we can read. You said that shit. What are you talking about?
You heard what you said.
Right.
Back what you said.
I'm at the point where I have a very unpopular opinion of coming to Facebook for pictures of babies, cats, and what y'all been eating, to be honest.
that's why I'm here.
We've come full circle on that. I'm all the way back to like, nope, don't care about your political opinions. What kind of sandwich was that?
That's like posting some crazy shit on Facebook and blaming literacy.
Yeah. If one father's reading.
Yeah, you people, if you couldn't read, we wouldn't have a problem here.
Mm-hmm. It was a dude on one of my friends' Facebook posts where she was talking about the Lena Dunham shit. And it was, of course, a bunch of men chimed in with the like, it's her right, okay? It is her right to do what she wants to with her body. Even though I disagree with her taking that tiny baby's life that is inside
of
her. And then when people were like, dude, what the fuck are you saying? And then they were just like, you know, I blame Facebook, really. Social media is just so hard to communicate. I'm like, nope. No, it's not. It's you. It's you. You don't know what you you don't know how to talk to people, and you meant that shit. Mm-hmm. At any rate, so she says, look, gay people, I'm y'all friend. I just like to call people slurs using that are pejorative to you whenever I'm mad. Calm down. Tobey Maguire, who you guys may know as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay, so Karen, you know this guy.
I know him.
A lot of times the white people news, Karen doesn't know what we're talking about.
I have no idea who they are.
he split from his wife of nine. Say what? Say what, Randolph?
You know Toby, Karen?
Oh, she knows him. She knows him. She knows
him. I know him, but
yeah, normally she doesn't.
You know, or I know their performance name and not their real name, so I just start calling by their real name. I'm like, man, who that?
Yeah. Well, Peter Parker was, he split from his wife of 9 years, Jennifer Mayer, in October. And now he's back out on the town with his old pal, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
Accompanied with a mystery blonde.
Right.
The boys are back in town.
You about to get some of that Leo runoff pussy that was about to happen?
It looked like Jonah Hill was there too, but for some reason they didn't say that he was hanging out with Jonah Hill. That's fucked up. Damn.
Well, if you got a trust in running with Jonah Hill or running with Leo, who you gonna run with?
Oh, nah, I'm saying they all here in the same picture.
Don't put Jonah Hill's name next to mine. Put Leo's name next to mine.
They all in this picture together, though. It's kind of fucked. If I was Jonah Hill, I'd feel away. I was like, what the fuck, man? I was at the party? What kind of shit is this? The 41-year-old actor was spotted dining at a new hot spot called Catch LA, seated next to a pretty Margot Robbie lookalike. Oh, shade. That's, damn, they didn't even bother learning her name. A skinny blonde woman. The image was posted to Instagram by a fan on Tuesday, reported they likely dined there on Monday. However, a source told Page Six that it was not a date, but a larger dinner party, which also included Jonah Hill. The Spider-Man star has been enjoying his new single life since splitting from Meyer, with whom he has two children. He's become a regular fixture at LA's party scene, including being spotted at 10 AK, I guess 10 Oak or something, 1 Oak. Anyway, alongside his pal Leo and Leo's infamous wolf pack of pals. Earlier this month, Toby was seen getting amorous with a non-blonde outside of a bar in West Hollywood. Oh, you know what that means. He been cheating a long time.
No, look, this will probably last probably about a year.
Right.
Just got to get back out there for a minute. Look for these stories for probably about a year. And then he'll meet somebody and he'll settle back in. He's too old. He's already got kids. Right. So he's...
Yeah, this is every... He's
about to wild out, but he's already got kids and stuff. You can't sustain that life. Leo ain't got no kids. Right. You know, so Leo can do this. He ain't got no kids.
This is every dude. Every dude against the... Most of the people we know, this will just be at Ruby Tuesday.
Oh,
in the,
okay.
In ritzy club, you know. He's okay. Just going out and having this fun that he feels like he missed out on.
So he's going to have like a romaine lost year.
Yeah, if he's lucky.
Yes, yes. That's
that romaine, that was post-divorce, too.
Yeah, okay, right. Okay. All right, I thought it meant he was probably already in these streets because the only reason I suspect that he might have already been in these streets is because he's so public with it. You know what I mean? Like, you normally these stars after the divorce, they do the low key, like with some discretion. They done caught him making out in public a couple times. This sounds like a dude that just ain't give a fuck.
Here's another thing though. Because he's been out of the game for so long, he may not understand about how everybody's now taking pictures of you.
True.
Everybody now is looking at you. Everybody True. Now Same. Is picking you up. So this may be the thing where he learns where, okay, I gotta keep this shit under.
True. Cause his wife is definitely like, I can't imagine his wife being okay. Like, look, you in the, you don't fucking in the tabloids on the internet. We got kids. What the fuck, dog? Like, I don't mind you getting out here, but what the fuck?
I gotta pull back.
Yeah.
And that's, that's old school being at the game. But a lot of people, they do like, I'm just going to go out here and ball out cause, I missed something, but.
Yeah. Even hanging with Leo is pretty bad. Mm-mm. That's a pretty bad first move. Because even, I know Leo is the man in that circle, but the PR for that is going to look like, it's going to look bad for you, man. Yeah. But
Leo ain't got no children and nobody else to be accountable to.
Right. Leo can do that. You know what I mean? Everybody got that friend. Yeah.
He's out there in them street, and that's fine. Fine, good. He should be right. That's running with the big dogs, baby. Are you ready to run with the big dogs like that?
Yeah,
lifestyle ain't the same. 10 o'clock, you be ready to go to bed. They be just waking up and be like, it's time to roll. You're
it's
like,
a little,
what?
Yeah. Leo like to fuck with them, like, 22.
Leo's telling him, hey, man, don't you gotta take your kids to school tomorrow or something?
Low key, that is one of the more underrated parts about, that homie that a lot of people don't talk about. But that homie that's living that kind of life is always the same dude that tells you not to.
Right.
Don't you got
responsibility? They know your schedule better than you. Don't you got responsibility? Ain't your daughter got a 3 p.m. appointment? You might want to leave me alone.
Like, they not going to stop you necessarily. They won't stop you, but they are very much like, you ignore the warning if you went out with them. Because they definitely hit you like, now, we don't even get started till 3. I'm going to tell you now. You got to pick your kids up.
Just like they said, just like that. Yeah. You know, this doesn't even jump off to them. We get back from the club.
Right.
It's like Boys in the Hood when they let him out of the car.
Yeah. You know? Yes. Yes.
You don't belong here.
Right.
You don't belong here. This is not your life.
Right. You get caught up trying to prove some manhood shit. You sure you on your own?
We be coming back in when the sun come up, dog.
Right. No, I can do it. I'm on these hoes. We doing this. Mm-mm. All right, man. All right. Yeah.
All right, man. Go on.
I ain't trying to say you ain't a man. I'm just saying you don't really seem to get down like this. But okay,
show up at the club in flip flops.
Right? Yeah. You wearing that? You wearing that? Okay, that's not what they wear no more. But okay. You ain't been to club since Troop was hot. But if you want to wear that,
if you say so.
You want to wear that bomber jacket? Come on.
Jabot jeans. Okay. Yeah, back in the closet.
All right. You gonna get clowned, but cool. Come on with me.
Come on. You need this.
White ankle. Okay. All right.
Cause they know you need this humbling as much as you need it. They're like, yep, they wasn't fucking with you. You right. They wasn't feeling you. You right.
Now, one girl wants your free drink. Okay. I understand.
Right. Anyway, so yeah, he back on these streets, man. Back on these girls. Lived.
Hey, Rod, one second. I just got a notice saying that North Carolina failed to repeal the anti-LGBTQ bill.
Are you serious?
Oh, my God. You know how much, first of all, I need to see the details of it. Because it's two things about it, right? One, the repealing of it wasn't necessarily a positive. Because what it was going to do was it wasn't going to, at least the way they were going to repeal it just now, they were actually just going to take it back to before what Charlotte did. And that really defeats the purpose. We should be adding to the protections of LGBT people in North Carolina, not taking away. And that's essentially what they want to do, is just be like, well, we'll just go back to LGBT people are unprotected, but we're not writing it down. And we do need to fight that, to be like, no, you should be able to use whatever bathroom you want to. You shouldn't be able to be fired for being LGBT at work. Like, someone shouldn't be able to find that out and fire you without cause.
Yeah, we already got them right to work state. Come on.
Right. Cause it was a lot in that bill. Also, minimum wage was going to be $15 in Charlotte. Like, it was a lot of little shit that was, not little, but major shit.
Yeah, they had to actually, amended, because at first they was like, hey, if you want to sue your employer, you could sue them federally, but you couldn't sue the state.
Right. And that was even if you were like, not even LGBT, but for like, if you were black, if you were a woman. It was good news, bad news, that vote today, because on the one hand, people wanted a quick, dirty, like, we repealed it, okay? And then everybody, all the money could come back, and then we just go back to ignoring LGBT people here.
Right.
But it also is also bad news, because it still means that, they don't have the political will to get rid of it yet. So I need to see the details of why they didn't.
This is bad, man. It's a long article that just popped
in. Yeah. Hey, send it to me on Twitter, man, because I do want to read it after the show. Because I read an article before to the vote today that was like, yeah, don't be fooled by this. Even if this shit goes through, this is bad. Cause it just basically essentially strips all the language for LGBT people out of the law, which is still harmful, But yeah, they don't have a, we'll see. They might not have a political will to do the right thing. People got to force them to. All right. So, Liv Tyler, back to white people news. Okay. Cause we all know LGBT, LGBT news is stressful, man. It's stressful in America, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's just black news, all this marginalized news.
Yeah. And people wonder why we play Sylvester up front.
Right. Liv Tyler was looking stylish as she heads out to London with her fiance, Dave Gardner. Her son Sailor and her 5-month-old daughter Luna.
What is we playing this? What's happening here?
Luna does mean moon, but Sailor, that's not a planet.
Sailor Moon.
Damn! Oh my God! She named her kid Sailor Moon.
Is she?
Sailor and Luna are the name of her kids. Sailor Moon. Mm-hmm. Karen, you smart. I would have never put that together. White people will, look, rich white people and poor black people name their kids the same shit.
Yeah, they do.
It's a lot more common than you think, guys. Yeah. Liv Tyler, 39. I
mean, at least she named it something like that and not food, you know, next raisin brand and
Karen does this every time.
Crunch bite. Oh, I can't stand. Don't name your children food.
Karen does this all the time. There's like two people that name their kid food, and Karen thinks all y'all do it. All y'all white folks.
Yeah, you
do.
Just like we get the stereotype, y'all get the stereotype. Name your kids real shit.
What is it, Apple?
It's Apple. Right. Yeah, it's the only one I think we've ever done. Karen's like,
artichoke dip.
You're right. They name them all food.
Right.
Stop naming your babies food.
This is my petty agenda.
Every time. The actress, 39, was dressed in style for the bitter winter chill as she emerged from her pad with her fiance, Dave Gardner, 40, and her two young children hot on her heels. The daughter of Aerosmith rocker Steven Tyler looked sensational in a stylish black cape style coat, which she teamed with a denim dress. She completed the look with black tights and knee-high boots as she headed down the stairs with a pile of books in her hands. Wearing just a slick of makeup to show off her striking features, it was evident that Liv was fully immersed in her family bliss. Her sports manager, Bo, looked every inch the doting dad as he kept warm with a chunky brown scarf while holding on to their 1-year-old son, Sailor.
I love these descriptions. They sound like they're trying to tell us a story patches in the book.
Yeah, you know what I like about Liv Tyler? She really is, like, she has really good skin. Like,
she only have to wear a sliver of makeup, so apparently whatever a sliver is.
A slick. It was a slick.
Or slick.
Yeah. I was watching, what the fuck is that show? The Leftovers? Mm-hmm. And, they had, like, these long segments where, like, a lot of the actresses don't have makeup and stuff when they're in this coat. And, she still looked good without the makeup. Like, it was, like, good for her, man. Good for her.
Which is weird, because her father has, like, the worst skin of all time.
Exactly.
Steven Tyler.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is drugs.
That is mostly. Drugs. Yes, that is definitely drugs. But good for her, man. You know that we always say, you know, black don't crack, but she somehow slipped through the cracks, man. The happy family was also joined by little Luna, who looked adorable. She was brought out of the vehicle. On Saturday, Liv couldn't resist sharing a cute snap of their newest arrival on Instagram. Lula Rose, so happy to be sitting up in her new big girl chair. She loves watching her brothers as she giggles when they do naughty things like kick footballs all around the kitchen. The tot wore a lovely Victorian style white frock and black cardigan as she sat proudly in her pink chair with her brother appearing in the background. Getting snap happy with her kids last week, Liv shared another cute snap of her youngest children in a toy car together. So there you guys go. That's what's going on with these white folks. Good for them playing with their children. Annalene,
adorable children.
Adorable children. True.
Like, they always have to put the word adorable in as though there's any other word they would use.
Right.
No one's gonna say her ugly ass kid showed up.
Yeah. Her ill-tempered children showed their spoiled asses up.
That big waterhead baby out again?
Yeah. That's what Bossum would say.
Yes.
Even Bossum know not to come for the children now.
You don't come for the
children. Yeah. this bar's $15 Colt 45 is a low blow to cheap beer. Okay, fancy restaurants, I get that you like to take lower costing foods and turn it into upscale dishes. But apparently in Hollywood, St. Felix's has decided to show all of society how low they can go by taking a 40-ounce bottle of Coke 45, which we can get at basically any liquor store for $3, and selling it for $15. The twist on this popular cheap way to get drunk, they're selling it in a brown paper bag. Nigga, what? A $12 bag? Is that what I'm paying the extra $12 for? Because I get a bag at the store.
Oh, you get $100.
Somebody white is buying that. I guarantee it.
It's ironic. It's just like when
Pat, they're buying it and they're taking pictures of it as they're drinking it and putting the shit on Instagram.
Yeah.
I promise you. Hashtag Coke 45, hashtag turn up, hashtag it's lit. Hashtag.
Yeah, they're selling in a brown paper bag, you know, the kind that we typically carry around our 40s in already.
Oh, you know what? That brown paper bag is made out of hemp. That's why.
So,
for the recycling. It's a special brown paper bag.
White people are in a $15 brown malt liquor now.
But how are people going to know you're drinking Colt 45 if you keep it in the bag? You got to put a little window in the bag somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a poser, man. I'll just put some water in a bag. Yo, that's what we should do, is hang out outside the club and be like, hey, man, $10, man. We got $10 Coke 45, bro. Don't go in there and spend that 15.
You get the right hustle, man. He sure will. He'll pop that coat open.
That's the white people are crazy, man. James.
That's an irony shit. Like PBR, the reason PBR became popular, because it was cheap bad. And so like 10, 15 years ago, white people started drinking PBR, even though it was the punchline beer for about 15 years before that. So it was like, look at how bad this is. Look, I'm drinking cheap beer. Isn't that funny?
Right.
It's for people who have their personality, basically.
No, my
meantime, there's a black guy standing over there holding a glass of Hennessy like, no, it's not funny.
Right.
It's not funny either, because what I realize as you get older, you know, because people used to go top shelf liquor. I never understood what top shelf liquor was till I got old. I was like, oh, you do this so that you can wake up and function and go to work and your liver will love you.
Yeah, you're paying for the not hangover.
But once you have it, you see the difference.
Right.
You see the difference.
So like I started looking up.
We drank a bunch of this tequila, Suave, something like that, tequila last year. And we were fucked up.
Me and Justin,
we did like a show on, like we did a live podcast. We were fucked up, man. It was bad. And his wife had to come get him and shit. And we both got up and played basketball that morning. In the morning.
I went to work. Absolutely fine.
Yeah. No hangover, nothing.
I went to work the next day too. And that's when I found out that I'm not a heavy liquor drinker, but I hold my liquor a lot better than Justin.
Yeah. It was fine.
I was looking at Justin like, this it?
But I was shocked to see him. And I was like, yo, man, is it me or do you not have a hangover? He's like, me neither. I was like, fuck. I wasted my whole life buying that cheap ass shit. I should have always been saving up to get the good shit. If I would have known you didn't get a fucking hangover, I would have been, I didn't know that shit was possible. Anyway.
And that's why
it's
I'm
not
short,
in the commercial.
So
they never mentioned that in the commercial.
They should advertise. They should be like, this tequila. And you won't get a hangover.
Just tequila for adults that care about their liver and their health.
That's why everyone in this ad is wearing a suit. You know?
Right.
Y'all got shit to do tomorrow.
Oh, so that's why everybody in this ad signing 401ks. Right. FSAs.
Right.
Oh, this makes sense.
That would be a good ass. That would be the best advertisement for liquor ever. It's just a motherfucker at work. Like they just show him at work. Like working on shit for like 45 seconds of the commercial, and then he just looking at the camera like, this was me last night, and they show him fucked up in the club. He's like, never settle. You know what I mean?
Never.
All right, let's see what else white people are talking about. Oh, the royal family issues another rare public statement to support the careers of Princess Eugenie and Beatrice.
What did they do?
Nothing.
What can we say? Perhaps the royal family's getting a little more candid. Weeks after Prince William issued a very rare public statement in support of Prince Harry's new romance with Meghan Markle.
She's gorgeous.
Which followed an equally unusual...
Y'all gotta put for the same. She's gorgeous. Okay.
Yeah. Well, she. Well, she's also like half black, so she was catching.
Yeah, I know.
She was catching that sism.
Yeah, she was.
That's why they had to come out, because they normally try to keep that shit on the low with who's being who they're dating. But they actually had to come out and be like, hey, y'all cut that racism out.
that I know about, but I mean, it's been pretty known for a while that he likes his meat spicy. So,
well, it's weird though, because like I didn't even know that, and I think even she's kind of like, you know, the tragic mulatto thing where it's like, I'm defining my own identity and all that shit.
Yeah.
And them racists, they defined it. Yeah.
They don't care about who you want to be. They have decided for you, baby.
They don't care about your personal exploration or any of that stuff.
They don't care about your mama and your daddy. They look at you and they put you in a category. Yeah. Just like me.
Just recognize we'll be here for you when it's time.
Right. And just recognize your definition of reality and their definition of reality and lots of how the world treats you ain't the same.
I'm just saying, as a community, black people traditionally, we will be here for you when it's time to come home.
Yeah,
oh, we'll be here. That's not even a question.
Yeah,
we'll be here. What do these two girls do? What's their jobs? Did we check into this?
Oh, I'm about to read it.
Do we just have jobs?
Oh, I'm about to read it. We got distracted by Meghan Markle, but you know. So, apparently, that followed an equally unusual statement from Prince Harry himself about the matter. Prince Andrew has issued an additional rare public statement regarding the future roles of his daughters, Princess Eugenie and Beatrice. Issued through Buckingham Palace, Prince Andrew denounced the recent tabloid fodder that suggested he and his brother Prince Charles were in stark disagreement over the intended careers of the two princesses. One of the supposed disagreements, for instance, was Prince Charles' disapproval of the young women pursuing full-fledged professional careers outside of their palace duties. What are their palace duties, I wonder? Mm-hmm. Being places, right? That's it, right?
Photo ops?
Going to parties and shit, right?
That's a full-time job for them, though.
Yeah. As a father, my wish for my daughters is for them to be modern working young women who happen to be members of the royal family.
Jobs better be immaculate.
Yeah. And I'm delighted to see them building their careers, Prince Andrew wrote. When they do support the royal family in its work, this is very much appreciated by my family and most importantly by those organizations and to those for whom their participation makes such a difference to their lives. Whilst I appreciate, as granddaughters of the Queen, there is considerable interest in my daughters, I cannot continue to stand by and have the media speculate on their futures based on my purported interventions, which are completely made up and an invention. Princess Eugenie is currently an associate director at a modern art gallery in London, while Princess Beatrice has held several entrepreneurial jobs over the past few years.
Okay, so the art gallery girl is working.
Mm-hmm.
The other girl ain't got no job.
She ain't got no job yet.
She ain't got no job. You can't even tell me what her job is. Mm-hmm. She's held several jobs. You can't tell me what they are.
Right.
No job. Get out of here, Tommy.
Mm-hmm. She out here selling knives.
Amway. They don't have to. That's why Charles is mad, because Charles knows they ain't got no job, and he wants them back in the castle like they need to do what they should be doing. They're not working. Mm-hmm. Them girls ain't working. Mm-hmm. That's what Charles is upset about. Charles is about how the family looks. So if they had jobs, my guess is he wouldn't say nothing. It don't sound like they got jobs.
Maybe she's like she's trying to become a DJ.
Yeah.
She's got some hustle she's working on.
Just random stuff. Oh, I work down at the local art gallery. Doing what? Mm-hmm. What are you doing down there?
Yeah.
Oh, I show people around.
Girl, that ain't nothing but Mary Kay.
That's why Charles is pissy. He wants them back in the way in whatever the Buckingham Palace. Doing whatever the hell it is they're supposed to. I don't know what the hell they're supposed to do. Show people around. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the last segment, guys. It's time to play some Guess the Race. All right.
Well, here we go.
Got to go back. We've taken out of the la la land of white people news. Time to get into some racism. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Randolph and Andy from the Three Guys on Podcast, and to guess the race. And of course, Karen and the chat room play along, and they are racist. All right, let's get into the first story. A U.S. cop pulls over a college student for speeding and then shows him how to tie his necktie before a big presentation. They say the police are meant to serve and protect, but one Wisconsin cop went above and beyond the call of duty to make sure a college student was well dressed. A heartwarming new video shows Officer Martin Fozik, pulling over a University of Wisconsin stout student for speeding and ending up helping the driver with his tie. We're guessing the race of the student. I have to get a tie tied, the student explains to Fozik after the officer tells him that he was going too fast. I have a presentation and I thought my buddy was home. I'm running behind. When Fozik asked why the student had made a loop around a certain street, he explains he realized his friend wasn't home. That's one of my good friend's house. He knows how to tie ties. I honestly don't know how, the student says. Where's your tie? Fozik then asks him. The student takes the purple tie out of the backpack and the officer puts it around his own neck. While I do this, why don't you grab your proof of insurance and your driver's license quick? He tells the student. He then hands the tie over to the student, telling him it should be adjustable, and the teen thanks him and puts it on. Probably not the best knot, but it'll work, Fozik says. A lot better than I was going to do, that's for sure, the student jokes. The pair then go over the student's insurance before Fozik eyes his handiwork and decides to fix the tie one more time. Kind of hard with all this crap on, he jokes as he ties to knot the tie over his uniform. Fozik then hands the tie back to the student, worrying once again that it might be too long. But the student reassures him that no one will be able to tell with his jacket on. All right, man, slow down, Fozik says, leaving the student with a warning and a professional look before his presentation. The video, which was recorded on the dashboard camera of Fozik's patrol car, was released by the Menomonee Police on Monday. It has since gone viral, racking up more than 300,000 views in less than 24 hours. The clip even warmed the heart of the police chief, who invited the student back to the station so he could teach him how to tie his own necktie. Guess the race of the student.
Well, 100 white.
Karen says white, okay?
Yeah, a 100 in front of that white.
All right. Randy?
White.
All right. Andy?
I'm going to go black for this reason. They released the footage, which means they want it for a good PR. And otherwise, it doesn't make the news. And also, purple tie, it might be black.
All right, let's check the chat room. White boy. Well, at least he wasn't helping Dylan Roof. White. He was given time to explain himself and retrieve his registration. White. He's still alive. White. Cop let the teen reach in his bag for a tie. White. Saved by the bell. White. And black. The correct answer is, can you take yourself off screen?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm coming back though.
That's all right. Well, I was going to take you out to show the people the picture.
So. Okay.
All right. The correct answer is, and Karen Randolph, you got it right. He was white.
I overthought
it. Getting invited down to the police station. That's a big one.
And of course,
reaching in the bag. That's a big one.
Andy, I got to play this boo. I'm sorry, man.
I had too much faith in America.
Yeah. Or maybe I feel like you were so cynical that, you know, you were kind of right. You know, like.
Yeah.
I feel, cause I was along, like, if I hadn't known, I probably would have guessed something along the, when it said purple tie, I was like, that's a brother. And then.
You know, I got a couple purple ties though. And my thing was just, someone has to alert the news.
Right.
So the only reason you do that is for good PR, if you're the police station.
Mm-hmm. Karen, is
but
it
I guess
showing?
It's good PR either way.
Is it showing in the chat? You can't even, you're not even in there. Yeah. Oh, okay. Can you guys see the picture?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's a white dude.
Good Lord, is that the cop?
Yeah, that's the cop, and he tied the tie for.
What the? When did cops start dressing like lumberjacks? What's going on?
Guess in Wisconsin, it must be.
Maybe that's a Wisconsin.
Must be cold out there, man.
Throw a big winter beard, a big rod beard.
speaking of cold, let's talk about some more guess the race. A toddler was found alone in a snow-covered car.
Oh.
A Colorado mother, we're guessing the race of the mom, has been arrested after her 2-year-old son was found alone in a snow-covered car suffering from hypothermia and frostbite.
Shit.
Tyler was left alone in the car all Friday night while the temperatures dipped below zero. Police say his mother, Nicole Carmen, 26, said she was involved in a car accident and left the toddler inside the vehicle. However, she was unable to remember the details of the accident or where her car was. Saturday at 10:40 a.m. authorities started looking for a car and found it located at East 120th Avenue parking lot around noon, with the 2-year-old inside suffering from hypothermia and frostbite. The boy was in a state of severe hypothermia but was conscious, said Thornton police. The car was blanketed with snow. There was no way of seeing what was inside. Police say the car showed no sign of being involved in the accident. Carmen has been arrested on felony child abuse. Police are trying to determine the circumstances that led to the situation. Guess the race of Mrs. What's her name? What's her first name? Nicole Carmen.
White.
Karen's going with white. Randolph?
Oh, I pulled myself out of the running on this one because I know the story.
Oh, you already know the story. Oh, that's all right. Andy, we can get back in this.
I'm going to go with white. Something about that makes me think white.
All right. And let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Did you already ask them, Karen? Are you in there?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Let's see. Stick waving bipolar white woman. What? Stick waving? What does that have to do with bipolar? They just felt ableist. Snow turned to ice white. They fell for that story white. White snow, pink toe. Ha! 21st name. Two first names, white girl, hangover story, white people trained early to be impervious to the cold, flip flops in the winter, wearing ass is white, white baby popsicle. Oh, it seemed like everybody went white. And the correct answer is, and this means everybody, Randolph wasn't eligible, but everybody else, you got it right. She was a white woman. And I don't know why the clap isn't playing. There you guys go.
You show a picture?
Oh, yeah, y'all want to see what she looks like?
Yeah, and that's what you do, that add me back on.
Okay.
Oh, I've seen.
Yeah, Randolph knows. Oh, my thing is moving kind of slow too, Karen. I don't know what's going on. Might have to refresh in a second. This might be ready. You know how sometimes it does that thing where I try to screen share and then it doesn't. I bet it's about to do that shit right now.
Oh, and it'll pop up and go right real quick.
Yeah. Are you in the chat? Can you see it?
Oh, I'm in the chat. And okay, yeah. It's not up there.
All right. Let me know. I'm going to give it a second.
Okay.
But she looks out of it, man. Like,
right.
She
right.
Like she's on something. Like maybe she's
on a lot of things.
Maybe that heroin, that heroin.
Right, that's
Aaron.
Right, and that's why I said everybody ain't meant to have children, and all you're gonna have is more people to have these children that they do not want.
Yeah,
that child is lucky. Woo. Actually, the child is lucky because somebody would get it away from her. Look at her.
Yeah.
Oh, she owns whatever it is. It must be real good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, it's good to her left eye.
Yes.
Well, you know, she just couldn't stay focused on her child, you know. So I just can't see your way out.
Oh,
that's all right. Hopefully that kid will be a lot of stuff. What'd you say right now?
She was on a lot of stuff. That's a lot of things happening at one time.
Yeah. That's... Yeah. A car accident. The car wasn't in an accident. She couldn't remember where her kid was.
That's inbreeding. Because her eyes are all
right.
A lot of stuff happening there.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. We'll do one more. Let's see. Let's do this one. When the elf on the shelf mischief goes too far. Uh-oh. A mom makes a toy frame her young son for trashing the bathroom. But then the scared tyke retaliates with an even bigger mess. Then blames it on the elf.
Oh,
That's diabolical right there. Smart child. One North Carolina mother is seriously regretting her commitment to making Elf on the Shelf fun after the mischievous toy's antics were just too believable for her young son. Lynn Heinrich got especially creative with her home's elves earlier this month. The toy has been known to get up to some naughty antics as it watches over little ones for Santa. So Lynn has hers make a big mess in her bathroom and frame her son Miles for the job. So you guys know how you know, Elf on the Shelf is like a thing you buy to make your kids be good during the holidays so they'll get Christmas presents. And you just put it up on the shelf and you say, this elf is going to watch you, and if you're being bad, it's going to report to me and I'm going to know.
And it's a snitch.
Yeah, it's a snitch, essentially. And yeah. It's a, like, it's for small children. It's for stupid children, essentially.
Okay.
Like, obviously, you get a little bit older, you're like, that motherfucking elf can't do shit.
I ain't never heard no elf on the shelf. My mama was like, nigga, you better not be in there doing no shit I told you not to.
Right.
The end.
Black mama tell you where your presents are and still tell you not to look.
Right. They in that back room. I see you in there.
Don't let me catch you. Don't let me catch you under my bed. But when Miles saw the mess and grew worried he'd get in trouble for the elf's deeds, he fired back, creating a much worse mess and blaming it on the elf on the shelf. Lynn shared her bemused frustration on Facebook, where it's been shared over 18,000 times. Last night I did my motherly duty of moving the damn elf, she wrote. So I was feeling creative and I got shaving cream and sprayed it all over the bathroom mirror and filled one of the two sinks with shaving cream. She left a note saying Miles did it, referring to her son, and Angel the elf was holding the pencil and had his arm around the shaving cream. What Lynn clearly didn't realize, though, was that Miles takes that little elf very seriously and fully believed he was getting framed for the bathroom disaster. So Miles woke up before me, went to the bathroom, apparently got scared shitless and that he was going to get in so much trouble that he needed to cover his tracks. So my son, apple of my eye, the monster of I was on bed rest for 5 months for when I went through 21 hours of labor for.
Woo.
And took 3 hours to push his huge ass head out. Well, he decided to frame the elf.
You can stop. We can go ahead and do the race right now. You can stop.
He decided to frame the elf. Instead of working with shaving cream, however, which is easy to clean up, the youngster pulled out a black marker and drew squiggly lines all over the bathroom walls. Then he wrote a note. He wrote a note with the marker to leave with the elf, reading, "You are ugly, Lynn." The marker.
He named the elf.
I like that he was. No, Lynn is his mom. I like that he was smart enough not to put mom. Because that's how my brother got caught with trying to forge my mom's signature.
Did
he say
mom?
One time. Oh, no, it wasn't my brother. It was a classmate, and I was in third grade. And the teacher was like, "Did your mother sign this?" He's like, "Yes." She's like, "Then why does it say mom?" He's like, "No, my mama, right? That's my mama's son."
Your mama actually got a name.
The marker was left in the elf's hand. I have to give him some credit there, she wrote grudgingly. "He is smarter than some of the dumbasses on Snapped, or I almost got away with it. Kind of scary if I think about that. Anyway, so now because of this motherfucking text elf, I have to paint my bathroom again. I mean, how can I yell at him without telling him I know he did it because I did the shaving cream," she added. Since she shared the story, she has sent thousands of readers into hysterics and also helped them out with a fair warning. And luckily, she later added, the marker wasn't as permanent as she thought. Thanks to high gloss paint on the walls, it washed right off with soap and water. So guess the race of Lynn and her son, Karen.
I'm going white.
Karen's going white. Randolph? Randolph? Uh-oh. What happened to her? Did I lose him? Oh, shit. I lost everybody. Am I connected?
Nope. You're not moving. Refresh. I didn't realize you weren't moving.
Okay.
At least you're not moving on my screen.
Okay. I'm going to try this. Is everybody else in there?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell everybody I'm refreshing. Okay. Yeah, it could just be... Maybe that's just all it is. I'm sure I'll be back on camera soon. Yeah, I think my shit just went down for a second.
I have lost Rod. Have I lost everybody else?
Oh, can you?
I think Rod is refreshing.
Yeah, if you can hear me, okay. Rod is refreshing.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that, guys. I got cut off. But okay, so Randolph, what are you going? What race?
These are black people.
All right.
All the clues are there, particularly the mother complaining about pushing his big head out. Come on.
Andy?
No, I think definitely black.
All right.
And the kid's name is Miles, too.
Let's check the chat room and see what they believe.
I think I may have asked twice.
Okay. Knows and calls his mom by her first name, White. Both the elf and the kid call her by their first name. Call her by her first name, White. What white nonsense is this? Black. White woman raising a future president, apparently. This is the last time I tried a damn elf on the shelf. Black. Black. Wait, are we silent? Can y'all hear? Oh, wait. Okay. I think they can hear us. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, the correct answer is, and, Karen, you went white. Randy and Andy went black. Most of the chat room went black. This is gonna divide the nation, but she was white.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I knew she was white because
like some meat spicy.
Mm-mm. If that was a black woman, that would not have went down like that.
Mm-mm. Gotta boo you guys who said black.
That Facebook post would have been a whole hell of a lot different.
Karen, I gotta take y'all screen to show everybody her race, and then I'll add you back, and that'll be the last story. I did say this is the bonus round, right? Did I say that? I don't know if I did.
Well,
anyway,
it's the bonus round.
Yeah, we gotta get out of here eventually. So yeah, this is her son. This blonde lady,
very white.
Very white. Her son's very white as well. So maybe she's just one of those woke white women. I don't know.
Sound like.
Yeah.
I mean,
she has some good cussing in there.
Yeah, I mean, not trying to find she fucking up the house and it was cool.
She did take
paint on drawing on my walls.
Mm-mm. Yeah, she took drawing on the walls way too casually.
Right.
She's like, and I can't even tell them. Mm-mm. The gig is up. The jig is up, what? As they say. I know you did this shit.
That's how that was.
Cause I did the other shit. And I can do it because it's my walls. That's why.
All right, you ain't pay for shit.
You ain't pay for no walls in here.
That's how that would have been.
Did the elf tell you? No, I know.
That's how that conversation would have been. What the fuck you drawing on my walls for? All
right, last thing we got to talk about, you know, obviously the longest sound clip in podcast history.
You and these damn swords. Sound like the weakest sword fight ever.
Yeah, oh, and
until that right there.
Yeah, but before you get started, yeah, me and Roger had went to the Walker Stalker Con here last weekend. And we were sitting waiting and come to find out it was gonna be a sword panel where they were talking about swords. We was like, nope, got to go. We need to stay.
Yeah. Also, yeah, that sword fight is weak. It's not like the Highlander.
No, not like the Highlander.
Yeah, it's not epic.
Queen
like
ain't
that.
Singing in the background.
A New Hampshire man armed with a sword was arrested after a domestic disturbance call. Police said they arrested a man with a sword following a short chase in the woods about 2:30 a.m. Monday. The alleged incident began after police responded to a domestic disturbance at a home in Freedom. Gregory Reagan, 34, reportedly fled the scene before the cops could arrive. He abandoned his car and then he took off into the woods. By the way, classic mistake. That just does not work out very often. The get out the car and take it, hoof it on foot, like
middle of the night too. It's 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
2:30 in the morning, you running.
Average person is not prepared for a night in the woods anyway. I don't know what he was thinking. He was charged with stalking, criminal trespass, reckless operation, breach of bail, false imprisonment, criminal threatening, and disobeying an officer, and he was held on $1,000 cash bail. That's it. Wow. It's a lot of shit for $1,000. Well, let's just put him back on the streets. The fuck?
Back in the woods. Just leave him in the woods.
Yeah.
He'll be punishment enough.
Yeah. When you come out, just bring $100 and you can go back home. All right, man, make sure you guys check out Three Guys On, man. I listen to them every week.
They are fun.
Yeah, it's so such a good show. Yeah, man, they always introduce us to all kinds of comedians and guests.
Yes,
and
they
stuff
do.
And you know, there's just, you know, I actually sometimes send them stories because I just want to hear them riff on the same shit that I've already read. Like, I'm just like, oh, they would be killing this, you know? So, that, you know, a lot of respect for those guys. And like I said, support them. Get Andy's album when it's out.
Yeah.
Get Randolph's album. It's still out. Blue Magic. Yeah. Get Tim Miller's album, Rule of Thirds.
Hey, can I plug a show right quick?
Oh, yeah. That was my next question. Go ahead.
Hey, January 12th, I will be at the Draft House location in D.C. proper. Okay, in D.C., the Draft House location. Go to their website. It's called dcstandup.com.
No, I'll the Draft House, it's drafthousecomedy.com.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, D.C. Standup is a different website.
Where did I get D.C. Standup? Where did I get that from?
That's Chris White's website.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I must have had that on my mind for some reason. Drafthousecomedy.com, that is the website. I will be there January 12th. It's in D.C. Working on a new hour. I'm going to start my work headlining at that show that Thursday night. So come on through.
With Chris Lambert.
Chris Lambert will be opening for me. So y'all come on. He's coming down and he's going to open for me. So y'all come on and get it.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, and what about you, Andy?
Well, this Friday, the 23rd, I'm at the D.C. Improv Lounge opening for Ryan Connor. There's two shows. The early show is sold out, so you can come to the late show, which is 9:45. I think there's still a few tickets left. New Year's Eve, I'm at a restaurant called That's Amore in Rockville, Maryland. Go to my Facebook page. You'll see a post about it. And I guess all the ticket info is on there, too. I just had a JPEG that I posted. So if you're looking for New Year's plans, come to that. And then January 21st, I'm at the D.C. Improv in the main room opening for Jeff Maurer. Just one night, January 21st.
Yeah, y'all put in on their jet fund.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a jet.
All right, guys, we'll be back possibly this weekend, depending on how things go, but more than likely we'll see y'all Monday. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.